2 months ago, and every day on the air since, I've told you things are different in Washington, D.C. This isn't the same Donald Trump, and I've been told by high-level DOJ they have every intention of indicting the deep state plotters who ran the Russiagate hoax coup plot. And now for the first time, the Attorney General, after the referral from Tulsi Gabbard at the Office of National Intelligence, has sent an indictment plan to an impaneled grand jury. This isn't like when people have made recommendations from the Senate for criminal investigations of Fauci and others. No, this isn't a criminal referral. This is Tulsi Gabbard's criminal referral going to the DOJ and now officially going with an indictment plan to a grand jury. We're about to lay it all out right now.
Fox News can confirm that Attorney General Pam Bondi today signed an order directing an unnamed U.S. federal prosecutor to take evidence to a grand jury relating to an alleged conspiracy to tie then 2016 candidate Donald Trump to the country of Russia. Now, Fox News reviewed the one-page order just hours ago signed by the Attorney General. A source familiar with the probe confirms this as well. While a DOJ spokesperson declined to comment on this report of an investigation, Fox is told Attorney General Bondi is taking the referrals from Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, quote, very seriously. The spokesperson says that Bondi believes there is, quote, clear cause for deep concern, end quote, and a need for the next steps.
Monday, August 4th, 2025, it finally happened. It didn't happen in the first 4 years of the first administration, and it hadn't happened in the first 194 days of administration. But now it finally took place today. Tulsi Gabbard last week made her criminal referral to the DOJ from her Office of National Intelligence as the director, with the total smoking gun proof, on top of all the proof we already had, that Obama ordered Crossfire Hurricane, knowing Trump was innocent, knowing his supporters and his administration were innocent, even before he won the presidency, when he had just become the nominee in Cleveland, Ohio, in July of 2016, to create the fake story that he was a Russian asset so they could try to discredit his administration and then finally impeach him. This is treason. And it never happened in the first administration. But now, because Gabbard put forward the referral, Pam Bondi has now referred it to an unnamed federal prosecutor in an unnamed jurisdiction. Now, this is the first time this has happened. There's been criminal referrals by Senator Rand Paul. There's been other criminal referrals by other agency heads. But this is the director of the Office of National Intelligence to the Attorney General, and within a week, Pam Bondi has now referred it. Now, is this more smoke and mirrors? Is Bondi running defense for the deep state? We'll find out, ladies and gentlemen. If they send it to D.C., if we find out they sent this referral for indictment, and the DOJ doesn't usually bring something to a grand jury unless they think they have the proof, they want an indictment, if it gets sent to D.C., that's like 97% Democrat, you know the fix is in. But in the last few months, talking to high-level federal prosecutors with these task forces and strike forces that have been set up, they said, no, Trump wants it done. We have the evidence. They're going to be releasing more of it. And if we have the evidence, which they now have, we are going to go for it. But they've got to get a grand jury to do it. And because of the way these strike force task forces operate, they don't have to refer something that is for individuals that reportedly committed the crimes in D.C., it can be done in other jurisdictions that were connected to it, like the area in Florida where they raided Mar-a-Lago with Jack Smith and the rest of it. And as I said months ago from my sources, we broke this. They've expanded out from 2016, 2017, 18 with the cover of a Russiagate. They're not just going for Comey, Brendan Clapper, testifying in front of Congress that, oh, they never spied and, oh, they weren't involved in the Russiagate thing. Proven perjury, that's a 5-year statute of limitations. But the major election meddling, covering up the Hunter Biden laptop, putting out disinformation, all of that serious crimes from 2020, and then the ongoing attacks on Trump, the raid of Mar-a-Lago by these very same people, and more, that brings it up to where we are now. And Jack Smith has officially been put under criminal investigation with a grand jury. That broke Saturday, and it goes on and on and on from there.
How do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? Because I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What is the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. Oh, you still like Brain Force? Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple of days. So I'm going to take my dose of methylene blue, my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process in the cell. It's like iodine to the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
It's Tuesday, August 5th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday morning. We're continuing to monitor the civil war taking place in the GOP and the Republican Party. We got some interesting developments on that front. A lot of stuff happened yesterday after our show ended. And we'll go through exactly what all of this portends, where this goes from here. So we have a lot to talk about. We'll be joined by Brian Bodine in the third hour to talk about this civil war and its various manifestations. And we'll be taking your phone calls as well. But we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 5th of August, 2025. States that boycott Israeli companies will lose disaster relief funds, DHS says. This is what broke sort of shortly after the show yesterday. On Friday, Federal Emergency Management Agency grant notices require states to certify they will not sever commercial relations with Israeli companies. In April, the Department of Homeland Security said boycotting Israel is prohibited for grant recipients, targeting the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. At least $1.9 billion is conditioned on compliance with the Israeli policy, as outlined in 11 agency grant notices reviewed by Reuters. FEMA will require major cities to agree to the Israeli policy to access $553 million for terrorism prevention, with New York City set to receive $92.2 million. University of Pennsylvania Law Journal reports at least 34 states already have anti-BDS laws or policies, and more than 30 states require public entities to certify they will not boycott Israel. Now, apparently this has been reversed, although the way that they reversed it was a little bit dishonest. And the just basically everything surrounding this is very suspicious and very strange and very objectionable and very poor timing and all, just all of this. But, of course, this has been the case for a very long time. I mean, we covered Hurricane Harvey disaster relief funds being withheld from certain companies who dared to not actively invest in the West Bank terror settlements of our greatest ally. And these are a few things you need to know about the boycott, divest, sanction movement. It is primarily, and it used to be exclusively focused on the West Bank settlements, which are illegal by any international law and indeed declare terrorist by certain official announcements. And it simply means that you don't actively participate in the funding of these settlements by withholding funds from companies that contribute to those settlements. So there's literally nothing offensive. It's just not actively contributing to something that you're against. And the Israeli lobby in our government basically using disaster relief funds as a blackmail or extortion tool, get companies and states. And we saw this with the San Marcos City Council not too long ago where they wanted to withhold money being sent to Israel, and the state basically forced them to send it. This has been going on for a while. We've been talking about it for a while. Why they would choose now to announce this, it's just utterly baffling. And truly, like, whether it's 5D chess or not, whether this was Trump's decision or not, we are actually in a situation where Trump is being so pro-Israel, it's making everybody anti-Israel. He's being so overt and overwrought in his dedication to serving Israel with absolutely everything we've got. Yesterday I saw, people that have defended Israel forever, just absolutely nobody was in favor of this. Everybody sees how ridiculous this is. And the people that are like diehard pro-Israelis just weren't saying anything, not even defending this. So I don't know what the real motivations are behind this. We will obviously continue to get into the, you know, Israeli divide between the GOP and Republicans. But I cannot figure out what their strategy is, because they're just doing everything they can to confirm people's suspicions that they are completely consumed by and under the absolute control of Israel, to a point that it's like you really can't ignore it and it's really bad. And even the pro-Israel people are like, what are you doing, Trump? Don't deny disaster relief over Israel. That's not making us look good. It's like, this is how it's been forever. And people are just, you know, realizing this is the case now. Again, we'll get into it later. All these headlines yesterday, the GOP rift in the GOP over Israel. It's like, you can just stop. Israel can stop genociding the Palestinians. They can stop starving children to death at any point. And all of the outrage against them would dissipate. A lot of it, at least. Or you could just stop rubbing it in our faces how much more you care about Israel than America. Like, it's really not that difficult. So I don't understand what their strategy is, but they're all freaking out. Oh my gosh, you know, the younger people don't support Israel. Let's go to Israel and kiss the wall. Maybe that'll help. Maybe if we, you know, cover up Epstein and call them stupid for caring about it, that will convince them. What if we join Israel in a bombing campaign against Iran for no benefit to America? Maybe that will convince. Maybe we'll just tell people to shut up. Send Cat Turd and the litter mates out to browbeat people and call them names for not wanting to starve children. And it's like, what is the strategy here exactly? You're basically just doing everything you possibly can to confirm what everybody is saying about you. And then you're mad that we're not being like browbeaten into submission. It just is very confusing. Personally, we'll get back into that later. Meanwhile, Governor Abbott orders arrest of absent Texas House Democrats. This is turning out to be another just complete mess. Texas Governor Abbott, Greg Abbott, announced Monday that he will try to remove Democratic lawmakers who left the state to block voting on Trump-backed congressional maps. This action follows dozens of Democrats fleeing Sunday to Illinois and New York to deny a quorum ahead of a Monday House vote on maps aiming to add five GOP-leaning Texas seats. Texas' 150-member House requires two-thirds presence to conduct business, but at least 51 Democrats holding 62 seats left the state, preventing votes and delaying disaster aid after recent catastrophic floods. Abbott referenced a 2021 legal opinion from Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton, though not legally binding, to assert the Democrats had lost their legislative seats and might have committed felonies, while Democrats dismissed his claims as baseless distractions without legal merit. The dispute escalated nationally, with New York Governor Kathy Hochul supporting the Texas Democrats and Democratic governors considering retaliatory map redrawing amid a wider partisan power struggle. So again, we can get into this. It's not exactly vague. I don't know what they mean. Like, this isn't legally binding. They took an oath of office to, you know, conduct the state's business. They're holding an emergency session to conduct state business, and they fled the state. I think they should just give up their seat. How do you not just remove their seats and just continue to do business? It would seem like the obvious way that you would prevent them from doing this again would be to just like pass things that are even more crazy and intense in their absence. Just show them, just like, okay, you can run away and then we're just going to pass whatever the hell we want because you're not here to stop us. So you can stay and do business and actually participate in the democratic process, or you can flee, try to upend democracy, you know, stop the state of the business of the entire state because of your, you know, anger at this redistricting, which is just very standard, you know, procedure. Ken Paxton says runaway Texas Democrats should be hunted down and arrested immediately. Good. You know, don't know why we have to keep talking about this. I mean, they should be arrested. Why are we talking about it? Why are we arresting them? It doesn't make any sense. But now what you have is a bunch of Democrats like all over the country being like, well, we're going to redraw the map to give Democrats more power. And it's just the classic feedback loop where it's like we're trying to, Texas out of any state has probably had the largest demographic change over the recent past. Entire new neighborhoods cropping up, new cities being founded. Like, you got to redraw the maps at certain points. The maps in Texas already are gerrymandered beyond belief. Just take a look at my district. It goes from like North San Antonio up the 35 corridor to like South Austin. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. But because Texas is just trying to redraw the map to actually make more sense, then the Democrats are just out there going, yeah, we're going to redraw the map to give more Democrats power. And it's just, this is just the way it always goes. It's just the way it always goes. The Democrats are upending democracy. They're a threat to our sacred democracy. Republicans are just trying to just do normal business. And the Democrats project onto them ulterior motives. And then go do the thing that they say the Republicans are doing, even though the Republicans aren't doing it. The Democrats are doing it because they're lying about what the Republicans are doing. It's just exhausting. And I mean, we'll get into more stuff like this later. We'll try to finish out here, but like I genuinely, like we gotta do something about democracy. We gotta do something about democracy. We'll get into it. It's just, maybe we'll just do it now. We can go to clip number four here. Democrat Representative Delia Ramirez at a summit in Mexico, speaking in Spanish. This is an American representative in our government in Mexico. Here she is speaking Spanish. We can translate. But as long as you have a passing awareness of Spanish, it's pretty obvious what she says. Here's an American politician in Mexico giving a speech. Let's watch.
Quiero terminar diciendo unas palabras en español porque yo soy guatemalteca con mucho orgullo. Primero que soy americana.
So what she said there is, I'm Guatemalan before I'm an American. Okay, so an American representative of the American people just said she's more Guatemalan than she is American. Not that this is particularly rare these days, where we've seen videos of no less than three Somali representatives saying exactly that same thing about Somalia. Don't worry, I'm an American politician, but Somalia is my first concern, and my position here is strictly just to use America to benefit Somalia. And we hear this over and over. What type of country puts up with this? How do we have, and like obviously get into Israeli dual citizenship, but how is it that you've got so many people in our government that just openly pledge allegiance to foreign governments? And when you really think about it, the issue isn't even with the politicians making these claims. It's the fact that Americans are voting for them. And so it's like, okay, it seems to me like any normal functional government if you had a member of that government going to a foreign country and saying, I pledge allegiance to you, I'm of this country before I am an American, seems like it'd just be perfectly proper and normal for that for the American government just to remove her from power, just instantly, without process or whatever, just impeachment, you're out. Seems like it should be easy. But then now you're talking about a federal government apparatus of some sort overwhelming and denying the will of the people. People voted for her. People voted for that person. So what do you do in this situation? What do you do in a situation where you've got an American representative saying, I am Guatemalan. I'm Guatemalan before I'm American. I have loyalty to Guatemala. And then they just keep winning elections. The American people think that's fine and keep voting for her. What do you do at that point? I genuinely don't know how you handle this without just becoming an empire. Without just going, yeah, we're not going to let people vote anymore because they keep voting in traitors. Like, we can't, how is a country supposed to survive when you keep electing literal traitors to office who just are openly loyal to another country over your own? What? Why should we as loyal Americans have to be governed by people who are not loyal to us, even if, you know, enough brainwashed idiots slash, you know, traitorous Guatemalan citizens in their congressional district keep voting them into office? Now my government has to be ruled by some Guatemalan lady. I mean, do we need to reorganize into an empire? Like, do we just need to, like, call the end of this little experiment called democracy? Yeah, we tried. It turns out you people are too stupid. Sorry. It's just, you can't run a country like this. You can't run a country giving power to people who elect Jasmine Crockett. That's just not the way the country should be run. Sorry. I don't know. I don't know what to do about it. We'll get into more of it later, but what do you do? What do you do when people keep electing foreigners who hate our country? Why do we have to put up with this, and what is the solution? Meanwhile, AG Pam Bondi orders grand jury investigation into Russia collusion hoax. Bondi's Monday order is a response to the Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard's criminal referral 2 weeks ago. Bondi ordered an unnamed federal prosecutor to initiate legal proceedings, and the prosecutor is expected to present department findings, evidence to a grand jury to secure potential indictment, reports Fox News, citing a DOJ spokesperson. Bondi is taking the referrals from Gabbard very seriously. The spokesperson said Bondi believed there is clear cause for deep concern and a need for the next steps. I'll believe when I see it. I mean, would love to see the results of this being conviction by the grand jury and the initiation of, you know, a public trial. But I'll wait till that actually happens. Because the thing about grand juries is they're easily manipulatable either way. Like, the classic phrase is that, you know, you could indict a ham sandwich with a grand jury. Because with a grand jury, you don't have to adhere to the normal strictures of a criminal trial, because you're not actually getting a conviction. You're just getting the basis for the criminal trial. So you basically, you can manipulate the rules to present just the evidence that you want to present and not any contravening evidence. And so while grand juries can and are often used to indict people when there should not be an indictment, the likes of Roger Stone or many other, you know, Trump loyalists persecuted by the Biden regime, you know, charged by grand juries in completely fraudulent cases, it's easy to get an indictment. It's also easy to not get an indictment. Grand juries are also what they use if they want to, you know, kill a criminal trial. If they don't want it to proceed, a grand jury is just as useful of a tool as if they want to proceed with illegitimate charges in the first place. So we'll wait to see the outcome of this. But I don't like that they're announcing. But I don't like that they're announcing it. Like they should just do it. Just stop talking about it. Just do it. We'll be happy when the grand jury decision comes down, and there are subpoenas for Obama and Hillary and all the rest of them. Then we can celebrate. Till then, I'm not taking the bait. Like, oh yeah, grand jury, it's coming, it's happening. I can just see it now. I can see it now. Well, you know, we did a grand jury and they chose not to indict. So gosh, we tried our best. We worked so hard to try to stop, but they all got away with it again. Darn it. Guess we got to vote harder next time. It's like, just get the conviction. Just get the conviction. Get the indictment. And then we'll talk. Okay. Stop talking about what you're doing. Just do it. Just do the thing. Shut up. Shut up, I guess, is the final thought on that. Meanwhile, Netanyahu to propose full reoccupation of Gaza, Israeli media reports. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has proposed to fully reoccupying the Gaza Strip when he meets his security cabinet, Israeli media says. The die has been cast. We're going to go full conquest of the Gaza Strip and defeating Hamas. Local journalists quoted a senior official saying, responding to reports that the army chief and other military leaders opposed the plan. The unnamed official says if that doesn't work for the chief of staff, he should resign. The families of hostages fear such plans could endanger their loved ones, with 20 out of 50 believed to be alive in Gaza, while polls suggest that 3 in 4 Israelis instead favor a ceasefire deal to return them. Many of Israel's close allies would also condemn such a move as they push for an end to the war and action to alleviate a humanitarian crisis. I guess we'll wait and see. It does not matter to the Israelis how you feel about what they're doing. I would hope that, if nothing else, has become abundantly clear over the last little bit of time that you either have to stop them or go along with them. They don't care. They don't care. All right. They literally write tweets saying, let them starve when told about starving children. They don't care. Okay. So we can either stop them or we can go along with them. Those are the only options. Okay. We're choosing to go along with them, which is destroying America. And the people in charge of America seem okay with that, I guess. I mean, they're only doubling down constantly. And we talked about this all yesterday, talked about it with Rex. I don't understand their strategy. I don't get what they're trying to do here. They're writing articles that are saying, oh my gosh, it's panic time. The GOP is in civil war. You know, what are we going to do? They're cratering in the, amongst the youth. And then they just double down endlessly on all of the positions that are driving people away. So what is their goal? I mean, is their goal to win back the youth? Then why are they just continually doing the thing that's driving them away? Is their goal to just like drown out and beat down and just use the same tricks they normally do, calling names, to just force Republicans to abandon hope and just go with the Zionists because it's the only option? I mean, what is their plan? What is their goal? What are they trying to achieve? And why does it look like they're just destroying the Republican Party on purpose with their sycophancy?
All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great, fog lifting, to just over the top crying and feel so good. Cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest old wrestling blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. Don't forget when he's on Owen to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. So sure, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes, starts peaking after a couple hours. But just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it
was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
Several weeks later.
You just saw an ad for Methylene Blue. You were here a few weeks ago. And I do this with every guest, more than 50 of them now. Every person has had clarity, energy, a fog lift is the most common. But what's really good is the long-term effects for your stamina, your energy, your libido, your how hard you can work out. It's amazing. So I had forgotten when he was coming in, we gave him a bottle because he loved it.
Almost gone.
I had forgotten to ask you if you listened to it long-term. So just briefly, tell people the short-term effect and then now a few weeks later, the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some Methylene Blue about a half hour before, and it just gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
Well, give me some. How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You gave me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support at thealtruistwork.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, now 4 or 5 months ago, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know. I was like lifting way more, going way harder. And then I got really exhausted after about a week because the same thing happened to Rob Dew, who's a great long distance, bike rider. So he's quite the athlete. He said he was biking so hard up hills and stuff that he actually had to pull over because, his heart was going crazy. I mean, this stuff's wild.
Yeah, it's good. I like it better than doing like a 5-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
It's not a stimulant. It just skips the oxidization process somehow.
So I've been using it while I'm out there doing search and rescue. Almost out.
You're saying you love it for working out. Has it gotten better over time, or what long-term thing have you felt, or if nothing?
Well, I think the main thing is it gives me a better workout, and that has good results over time. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I found without even knowing.
Yeah.
And then O'Keefe's like, it made my vision better. And Rob Dew goes, we have a bunch of callers already saying that. Did you see these studies about it, like curing glaucoma? And I'm not going to say we're not selling it as a drug. I'm not saying it's going to do that. I'm like, God, this stuff's crazy. No, they don't want you to know about it. It's like ivermectin.
Right, exactly. Old school stuff.
But you can't take it if you're on SSRIs. And folks, it's so strong. Talk to your doctor first because it's not a game. Ours is really strong. If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We'll take your calls in the second hour, joined by Brian Bodine in the third hour. Talk about some of the maneuvers, the machinations going on. The GOP, an attempt to tamp down on the rising power of America First. Maybe we'll go to some of these videos now. I'm not too sure what to make of this, other than to say that it shows a tidal shift. It shows I really don't know what it shows. I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm trying to figure out whether we got GOP events being disrupted by hardcore leftists, or if there is a tidal shift happening within the conservative movement. So I know I've gone through a bit of a transformation, not entirely, but certainly over the last couple years, it's become pretty obvious that the argument for small government is just not, doesn't make any sense. It's just, it's like kind of a trick. And you see it over and over again where when they have to make cuts, they always make cuts, things that benefit you or would help you or something that you would actually want money going towards. And yet the money for war and whatever other ridiculous nonsense that helps nobody, benefits nothing, and half time is secret and under the table anyway. Just infinite money. Infinite money. And so right now, Republicans in office are still sort of holding on to the old paradigm. And I think people in the Republican Party are just sick of it. I think they're sick of hearing the excuses. And I think you'll see that in some of these responses. The story is all over the mainstream news. Vote him out. Town hall erupts in anger at Nebraska GOP congressman over Trump mega bill and other policies. You know, obviously the mainstream media is jumping on this and is making hay out of this. I'm not, you know, it's not my intention to help them spread that message, help them, you know, frame this. But it is very interesting. I mean, this is in Nebraska. We need some of our regular callers from Nebraska to call in the next hour to explain this. Basically, House Republican Mike Flood gave a town hall to about 750 members in the audience. And the crowd was extremely hostile. The crowd erupted within just minutes of the start of the forum, shouting and heckling at the congressman as he touted President Trump's massive policy and tax bill that was signed into law in July. Flood said there were about 750 members in audience at Kimball Hall, where he gave this speech, saying, quote, "I know I'm going to be met with some resistance. I want the opportunity to tell you and talk to you about the health care in the bill we just passed. I want to go right into this bill because I know there's something a lot of people have questions about. And quite frankly, from where I sit, there's been a lot of misinformation out there about the bill," Flood told the crowd, which received loud boos from the audience. He tried to walk the crowd through key health care provisions in the mega bill, but it was continuously drowned out by the raucous crowd. And again, I got to wonder, I mean, this is the type of thing that, you know, could easily be manipulated by the left. The issue is they're in deep red Nebraska. So you would expect there to be a lot of conservatives there in the first place. Of course, you can get, you know, 20 far leftists to go in, make a bunch of noise, make it seem like the whole crowd is turned against them. You know, I'm trying to figure out where the political divide is landing here, what people think is going on, what their actual outrage is. But I also want to note that this is not the first time this has happened. I believe if we go to clip number, let's see, we got a couple words. I think clip number five, this was back in March or May of this year, I believe. Sorry, I'm just trying to see which ones. Okay, that's March 18th. So this was March 18th of this year. So, you know, this is not necessarily new. Something's happening in this Nebraska district. They're reporting on this as if this is a giant heel turn and everything was going great and suddenly they're booing him last night. Nobody knows why. Well, here's a video from March of, you know, a similar town hall for Representative Mike Flood from Nebraska. Let's watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's the deal. Here's the deal. That $36 trillion number is not going away. It is not going away unless we deal with Medicare and Medicaid. Let's remain calm. Let's remain calm. Let's remain calm. Ultimately, where we need to go is to a balanced budget. A balanced budget where we... How can you be against a balanced budget? How can you be against a balanced budget? All right.
They're right. Chanting tax the rich, I guess. So again, you can see the crowd. It's not everybody's involved. I don't even see the people chanting. Okay, so do we just have a few angry people taking over this town hall? Is that what's happening?
Let's talk about this. So your proposal to solve this is to tax the rich.
That's getting a lot of cheers. Okay, so is this just a couple of socialists taking over this town hall? I don't know, but I know I understand the boos. I understand the boos, and it's obviously dishonest framing. You're booing a balanced budget. No, obviously we're not booing a balanced budget. We're booing the fact that you're saying in order to get a balanced budget, we have to cut basic necessities that actually benefit the American people. Again, Social Security, Medicaid, I mean, these are Ponzi scams from the outset. They're the underlying reason why immigration is as high as it is, because they're both predicated on infinite growth, while the people who institute the financial system predicated on infinite growth do everything they can to lower birth rates and collapse the population. So, obviously, necessitates immigration, which has got us to where we are now. I got no love for Medicaid and Social Security. These are obviously big issues. But I'm not the only one who's sick of hearing about the budget every time it's something for us. Because that's what's happening here. Is every time the American people want something, it's, bah, we got to balance it. I mean, but we got so much debt. We got to balance the budget. And anytime you want to send a couple billion dollars to Ukraine or a couple billion dollars to Israel or a couple billion or hell trillion dollars to USAID to spread gay awareness in Uganda, infinite money, not even a concern, not even a question, just dishing it out continuously. But now PBS has to shut down. Sorry, now we're closing PBS and we're spending five times the amount of money that we ever spent on PBS on missiles to bomb Palestinian children. And we get a little bit sick of hearing about how concerned you are with the budget. Okay? Just stop. I mean, this is, it's, you know, it's like the parent comes home with a brand new car and, you know, $5,000 earrings going on vacation. And then they come home and go, sorry, kids, you can't go to summer camp. The money's just not there. Kids are like, well, what the hell? And they're like, you're against a balanced budget? You want us to go broke? It's like, it's not about the money. It's about where you're choosing to spend it. It's about when this problem of the budget, you choose to invoke it. And when you choose to ignore it, it's about the fact that the GOP at this point is doing everything it possibly can to destroy our government, it seems. I mean, well, what are they doing for the American people? I can't think of much. Deportations. All right. Those are happening, apparently. What else? But what else, though? So, again, I think this is indicative of, you know, the overall political change in our country. I'm trying to figure out exactly what it is, what that means. Let's go to clip number six here. This is GOP Representative Mike Flood. This was the town hall yesterday that all the big stories are about today. Here's him trying to keep a handle on a very unruly and raucous Nebraska crowd.
Why did you cut SNAP and healthcare research?
We do not have unlimited money in the United States.
Again, look, I'm not going to take this room full of whoever it is in Nebraska as indicative of the sentiment all over the country, but I don't think it's that far off. I think if you get a random crowd of Americans from anywhere in this country and put them in a room, I think you're going to get a lot of cheers when the GOP representative is asked, why did you cut SNAP benefits and medical research? People aren't happy about that. And then you're going to get boos when the GOP rep says, in this case, we have no money. Sorry, no money for it. Infinite money for other things. No money for this, though. No money for that. So again, it's not that, you know, it's that we do have infinite money. It's that you print it money from air, and you have to an absolutely absurd rate. And let's not forget that, like, the majority of the debt that we're currently saddled with has all been put on our backs, loaded onto our cart since 2020, when the powers that be forced everybody to lock down and then printed a crap ton of money to make up for the shortfall. This is just entirely them. They made this, they forced you to stop working and then sent you a check and then go, bah, there's no money. Money isn't infinite. It's like, but it is though, but actually it is. And it's entirely arbitrary what you choose to have billions of dollars available for. And when you choose just to say, crap, we're out of money. Sorry. Nobody's buying it anymore. It's ridiculous. So again, this is why I think it is indicative of not just what's happening on the left, what's happening on the right as well. And I've always said, like, if you don't address these problems, where do you think they're going to go? Where do you think the voters are going to go? Where do you think the disaffected Americans who are sick of seeing their hard-earned money siphoned away, 50 to 60% of their paycheck going into the government who just sends it overseas or starts wars with it or uses it for a whole host of other just completely ridiculous concepts. Like, what is the plan here? What is the plan here for the GOP? You're going to cut all the things that help Americans. You're going to fund and empower all the things that don't help us. And when people get mad and want there to be some fairness in the system, you tell them, well, we're just out of money and you're not allowed to think that because that's socialism. They're going to vote for the socialist. So what is the plan here? Again, maybe this is just a bunch of leftists interrupting a Republican town hall. I think this is much more indicative of just the American population at large not even having to do with parties. I think there's something very powerful happening right now where the parties are sort of, the edges of the parties are sort of shimmering and, you know, jolting in and out of existence. Like, we're in for a big mix-up. I think we're in for a big mix-up. I think there's a lot of people out there, like all these people in Nebraska. Like, we're generally on the same side, even if their ideas aren't perfect. We'll go to a few more clips. Let's go to clip number 7 here. This is the one that really went viral, him talking about healthcare and getting booed for it. Let's watch.
It talks about two big changes to the Medicaid program. One of those changes is that if you are able to work and you are able-bodied, you have to work. If you choose not to work, you do not get free health care. You do not get free health care. Okay. So here's a question. Do you think that people who are 28 years old that can work and refuse to work should get free health care? I don't think that a majority of Nebraskans agree with you.
You know, there's this trend in Republican politics recently, especially when talking about like Medicare and Medicaid. And it's that they will only go after regime approved targets. And so they're constantly invoking this image of like the white dude who's playing video games all day at 28 and just living off the government. Like, do you really think that's the issue here? You really think it's the young white guy is just choosing to live off government benefits because they're so generous to him? This is nonsense. And so what's happening here is that the powers that be, people like this representative, all representatives have a hand of guilt in this. They've made a society, an economic construction that's made a lot of people hopeless and made them feel like it's impossible to be meaningfully involved in their society. So while I'm not in favor of free healthcare, government-run healthcare, I've seen the horror stories from Canada and the UK. They find it's cheaper to kill you than actually cure you, and so they act on that, you know, equation. But at the same time, I totally get the outrage of young men who, like, have seen their economic trajectory completely stalled out, did everything right, and yet faced headwinds at every pass, were discriminated against when getting into college, were discriminated against while they were in college, just hold their nose, just, you know, grin and bear it, get through it. Now they're not getting hired, either because they're white or because they're American and companies are hiring foreigners or non-white people to comply with some ESG score that's been allowed to take root. And so I, you know, most of these guys want purpose, want meaning, want to contribute, end up being basically forcibly ejected from society and take solace in things like video games where they can actually feel accomplished. Even if the accomplishment are pixels on a screen, at least it's better than being beaten down and browbeaten and then told how privileged you are. So yeah, they're dropping out of society, and then you want to get mad at them for that. And you tell them they're not allowed to. So they need to be beaten and disadvantaged and undercut and robbed continuously through their tax dollars while constantly everybody else is coddled, everybody else is benefited, everybody else is helped up and given a hand and given free stuff and have communities that serve each other and work for them. And you've got representatives like this standing up and going, you don't deserve health care because you're not willing to work in this incredibly unfair and hateful system that we've designed to exclude you specifically. And even though welfare is massively more consumed in a per capita basis by immigrants, by non-white people, by, you know, families of seven, they're never the ones that, you know, the GOP talks about removing the healthcare from. It's the young guys who have been systematically removed from American society because of how they were born and who they are. So sure, maybe there's just socialists that just want universal health care because they're dumb. But is this really, again, it's the idea that we don't have any money for you. We have any money for you. Sorry, there's no money for you. Plenty of money for everything else. Plenty of money for the people that hate you. Plenty of money for the people that are robbing you. Now, the other aspect of this is that the socialists, the tax the rich types, are just in a world of complete delusion and genuinely think that the positions they hold are somehow at odds with the billionaires when they're literally the foot soldiers for the billionaires. So there is this dichotomy taking place. But we got a few more videos. Again, just to hear what this looks like, not from the microphone, but from a camera standing in the crowd. Clip number 8, GOP Rep. Mike Flood's town hall drowned him out continuously. Here's what it looked like in the crowd. So let's go to clip number 9 here. This is a representative being asked by a Nebraska citizen a very pointed question. Clip number 9.
I'm Rosina. I write you emails with concerns of your voting behavior regarding Trump and his actions. You support him, especially confirming the cabinet. Your responses are riddled with misinformation and lies. I fact-check you, and then I send the responses back. And I get crickets if I am fact-checking them because they are wrong in your response. I send them back to you, and I get crickets. I get kind of bummed.
And this is not about partisan. This is about issues, because we're about to lose our democracy.
My question is fiscal. With $450 million FEMA dollars being reallocated to open alligator Alcatraz and $600 million taxpayer FEMA dollars being used to now open more concentration camps and ICE burning through $8.4 million a day to illegally detain people, how much does it cost for fascism? How much do the taxpayers have to pay for a fascist country?
So then you see stuff like that, and you're like, okay, these people are just stupid. We got to spend money to build deportation camps because you people opened the borders and flooded our country with 100 million foreigners that don't belong here and are breaking the law. So we have to get them out. That's your fault. That's your fault, actually, for that. And the price that we have to spend to deport them is a fraction of the amount that it would cost to keep them here. So you can shut up about that. But it does contribute to everything else I'm talking about, is that we apparently have trillions of dollars to spend funding the importation of all of these people. And then somehow we can't use that money to get them out. Somehow there's no money to get them out. We got to build all new camps to get them out. It's just, I mean, none of this makes any sense. It's all just insanity. And then we're never going to solve any of it because half of our population are morons like that, that think it's fascist to deport illegal immigrants. To think that you can just let in an infinite number of foreigners and that we have to pay for it and it's our tax dollars that go for it and that there's going to be no negative consequence of that. And then we can just continue to spill forth our hard-earned money forever for everybody else. God only knows what's really going on in this country. The GOP is not fit for purpose. They do not have any serious solutions to any of the problems that we're identifying. And their only argument is it costs too much money, which falls completely flat when we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars in Ukraine, in Israel, and everywhere else that doesn't actually matter or affect us. So, again, I don't know. I don't know where we go from here. I don't know what we do at this point. But democracy is obviously not the way. And that's kind of a scary thought, but like, you hear these people, and then you see the responses.
I'm only as strong as you are backing me. You figured it out yet? This is not like a regular show. The bad guys don't like it for a reason, because we have the information and we have the spirit of victory. So go now to thealexjonesstore.com. The new sale is one of the biggest in the history, maybe the biggest. Store-wide, buy one, get one free super sale. All the t-shirts, all the ball caps, the widest selection, all of the award-winning supplements, the Shilajit, the Methylene Blue, the Ultimate Life Force Blood Cardiovascular Cleaner, the best out there, Atomic Defense, Total Booster Immune System, the Irish Sea Moss, just over the top, everything. All of it, already discounted, buy one, get one free, but here's the catch. You have to be a subscriber, which is $30 a month, and you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. So if you're going to buy something, you instantly make your money back, and then some, simply by becoming a subscriber in the profile. Cancel one click anytime. You need to try our Ultra Methylene Blue, but talk to your physician first. And if you're on SSRIs and things, you can't take it. So check with your physician, or you can look at what you're taking as well and just check those interactions with it, because it's very powerful. It's very strong. Get the capsules or get the pure liquid. Same thing with the capsule. It's the very best medical grade. Get the Irish Sea Moss. Get the Shilajit, the pills, the gummies. It's all there. And then there's the best probiotic, the best prebiotic, the best gut cleanse formula, the very best turmeric, ultimate turmeric. It's just amazing. 95% cumanoid. Great fat, natural fat burning formula. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And the widest selection of t-shirts, ball caps, and more. Like I said I want the widest selection. It's kind of insane. There's like 500 plus designs now. It's redonkulous. So get it all right now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.
This is a massive story on so many fronts. This morning, the White House put out a press release. DHS put out the new rules from the Trump administration that any state, county, city that says they're going to boycott Israel will not get FEMA disaster funds or any other federal funds for hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, wildfires, terror attacks. And that's what Biden did in North Carolina, South Carolina, and other areas that came out in documents where if you had a Trump sign or you were white, you wouldn't get support. People didn't believe it at first when we heard whistleblowers and we got the documents. Total discrimination. Now, it's one thing if Trump wants to tell California, which we support, hey, don't do transgender brainwashing or DEI or we'll cut education funds because they're discriminating against people. So we're saying you don't get funds to do that. But to then come out and say you're not going to get any funds that taxpayers have paid for, and then imagine when there's disasters and people die, what a crime. And I said on the show today, I said, I bet Trump doesn't even really know about this. You got Abbott in Texas. You got DeSantis, who I think are good guys overall, but not on this, sanctioning cities and towns like San Marcos in Texas, South Austin, because they had a resolution condemning the Gaza genocide. So Abbott said, I'm going to cut your state funding. This is wild, ladies and gentlemen. This is absolutely wild. This is totally insane. And it's so incredibly dangerous. So I came out when it broke in the second hour of the show and I said, this is Trump jumping the shark. I mean, this is really, really, really out of control. And he's reversed this right now. And then immediately the bots hit saying, oh, it's good, but also, oh, it's not even a real story. So I'm going to post the Reuters article under this where the Trump administration has now, in less than 12 hours, since broke early this morning, they put the release out, they have now reversed it and said they're not doing it. Thank God. So here's the rest of the story. On issue after issue, we were going to go into Iran. We put pressure, the public did, Trump backed off. They were going to keep mRNA vaccines. Kennedy went to bat, the public did. They had to back off on that. So this is a very, very exciting time to be alive. And the different lobbies that are manipulating Trump, they want to demonize any Trump supporters that try to keep him true to his agenda and who watch bad people in his administration as a panican. No, we're enforcing. We're holding feet to the fire. We are a pressuring, not a panicking. They want the people that got Trump elected to just sit down and shut up while the Israel lobby and other lobbies come in and run roughshod over this country and over Trump's constituents, and we're not going to do it. So that's the bottom line on this. And so the Democrats are in free fall. They have the lowest approval rating ever. Their fundraising is the lowest ever. They're a joke. People are rejecting leftists on a ship around the world. Our big fight now is over the heart and soul of the Trump administration. He's a good man overall. And everybody knows I'm not some foam-at-the-mouth anti-Israel guy. Israel has been a big lobby controlling our foreign policy in the Middle East, but I didn't think they ran everything. But they're trying because the power vacuum, the Democrats being out, the ADL, the Israelis, they're here trying to pass laws in Congress to put you in jail, like in Europe, if you question the Holocaust, which everybody knows. I know Hitler said he was going to kill a bunch of Jews, and he did. You can debate the numbers, but it doesn't matter. You have a right to say the moon's made out of cheese. But now they have the head of Meta censorship saying, I'm an Israeli, and I'm censoring anybody that even criticizes Zionism because that's anti-Semitic. What? So Israel is destroying itself. Netanyahu is destroying Israel right now. This is all totally insane. And if you look at all the countries in the world that you can say are acting like Hitler, it's Netanyahu. In Gallup, Israel's now seen as the major threat in the world by other countries. I don't even think that's it. I think it's communist China or NATO and the EU trying to start war with Russia, a nuclear war. They already started a war. So, you know, I'm not trying to have a beef with Israel here, but man, I can't help it. I mean, you want to come in and take disaster relief for conservatives, liberals, agnostic, political people. If there's a flood or a fire, take the money away from people trying to go to the Red Cross or trying to go to a shelter or get some money for a hotel.
Now, the DHS has been forced to change that provision. They have changed it now, but they did it a little bit dishonestly, and we'll get into that on the other side. That video, of course, is from Alex Jones's X account. You can find and share that video at Real Alex Jones. Follow me at Harrison H. Smith. Follow, of course, at InfoWars and at InfoWars Journal for the American Journal. And we'll be right back. Stay with us.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because, folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. We just watched a video from Alex Jones talking about the decision made by DHS to deny emergency funds to companies, states, municipalities that boycott Israel. And we've covered the, you know, BDS, boycott, divest, sanction movement quite a bit. Of course, we've shown many clips from the Al Jazeera documentary called The Lobby. And there's two versions, the UK Lobby and the American Lobby, both these from Al Jazeera documentary series. Highly recommend you watch them. Give you very, very keen insight into the strategies of the Israeli lobby in particular, which their strategies all lobbies use, but you really get a sense of just how widespread and influential these lobbies are. And all of the American series is dedicated to the BDS movement. And the fact that you have all of these Israeli organizations in America coordinating and collaborating with the Israeli government to shut down student activism here in this country. And that's a big issue because, again, when we've showed you the clips, I mean, it is, and they're very clear. They're like, we are only able to do this because we have the capabilities and the resources of a state, that the state of Israel is behind us. So if they want to gather, you know, blackmail information on a student activist, they've got Mossad, the IDF, Unit 8200 on their side, working with them, spying on Americans, feeding it to, you know, Israeli Americans so that they can try to shut down the boycott, divest, sanction movement, which is perfectly legal, totally in line with any, you know, constitutionally approved political speech, but being shut down by the Israeli government and their operatives in this country. So they're like very threatened by the boycott, divest, sanction movement. Israel has deemed it worth it to spend billions of dollars and activate innumerable resources to trying to defeat this protest movement, which again is simply about not actively contributing to what are internationally designated to be illegal settlements run by terrorists. Okay. That's what boycott, divest, sanction is all about, is companies that contribute to Israel are paying for the dispossession of Palestinian Christians and Muslims in the West Bank and elsewhere where these illegal Israeli settlements crop up that are illegal by any definition. You know, even technically according to Israel, they are, even though Israel, you know, pays for their upkeep and expansion. They still admit that it's illegal that they're doing it. And so, you know, I'm saying all this to lay out, like, what is the basis for this ruling, this requirement? It's not hateful to not actively contribute to a terrorist organization, right? It's not anti-Semitic. It's none of these things. It is, so like when you're talking about, you know, who's on the right side here, the people who are simply withholding their own money and not wanting to actively contribute to something they don't believe in, they're not the bad guys. Okay, the people using American law to force companies to contribute to a movement they don't believe in, they're the bad guys. Okay, so just let's lay that out first and foremost, because the only attempt I've even seen, it was by Joel Berry. I think it's in the Babylon Bee, right? I don't know. He's one of these Christian Zionist Shabbos Goy guys. He's the only one I've even seen even try to tepidly justify withholding disaster funds from Americans because they won't support Israel. And his very, very tepid and lame defense was, well, the BDS movement is evil. So let's just be clear. The BDS movement, it's just a protest. It's just a boycott. Nothing wrong about it. Nothing even remotely objectionable about it. But that's the only argument they have. That's the only argument they're willing to make, because there is no other argument for this. If BDS isn't evil, then what the hell is going on here? So again, this was such an ill-advised move. And again, this all takes place in this idea. Yeah, BDS is a vile front group of radical leftists and Islamists. It's weird to see people on the right rushing to defend it. It's like defending CARE, Muslim Brotherhood, or BLM. Well, not really. Yeah, not really, though. So there you go. If you can't, you know, associate boycott, divest, sanction with, you know, being a terrorist group, then you really have no argument here. And that's not an argument anyway, so there is no argument for this. Again, you've got, and this is the strategy clearly they've been pursuing. It's not going to work. It's basically projecting the left-right paradigm onto Israel and saying, basically, if you're against Israel, that's left-wing politics. And that's just kind of ridiculous. This is not a left or right issue. This is a nationalistic issue. This is America versus Israel, not left versus right in America and Israel. We're not the same. And people on the right wing in America are not necessarily right wing when it comes to Israel. Why would they be? It genuinely doesn't make any sense. But like Mark Levin wrote an article, or posted it yesterday, basically going, why are Republicans going left on Israel? We're not going left on Israel. We just don't like Israel. We're right-wing Americans. We're nationalistic. We want America to benefit America. And we're not in favor of murdering children to achieve your political ends. So why would we be in favor of what those scumbags are doing? It just doesn't make any sense, and it's a false dichotomy, and it's an attempt to use the political divide here to trick right-wingers into thinking that supporting Israel is the right-wing position, when it has nothing to do with left or right wing, has to do with nationalism versus not. Now, that being said, the people on the left, as I've always said, they're right about Israel for the same reason they're wrong about everything else. They see it in the oppressor versus the oppressed paradigm, the brown versus white interpretation that they see absolutely everything in the world through. So, you know, yeah, they're lefty idiots, and that just means they happen to land on the right side of this particular, you know, conflict, not for the right reasons, but who cares? But who cares? We happen to be on the same side as them, not because our politics happen to align in this instance. It's just that they've exported their right versus left paradigm onto Israel. And they're basically making the same argument Mark Levin is, only from the other side. Whereas we're, from my position, just completely outside of that dichotomy. It has nothing to do with left or right. It has to do with right and wrong, good and evil, truth versus lies, America versus Israel. So again, not exactly a surprise they would put this in. It's just the timing is so bad. And again, it's like, are they doing this on purpose? Are they trying to piss us off? Because that's the only thing that's happening. And everybody I saw online yesterday was just absolutely outraged and infuriated at not just the announcement from the DHS about withholding emergency funds, but also extrapolating that and going, not only is this wrong, let's look at what else Israel is doing. Why does Israel have this much control? what would lead to this provision even being considered, let alone implemented? How did we get to this point? So it's not a good look for Israel. And it's not exactly making people think the claims that Israel controls our country are false. Like I was saying this yesterday on X. It's like, if I was pro-Israel, I would be doing everything I could to get the DHS to reverse this. Right? If I was pro-Israel and I saw, oh, we're going to withhold funds from, you know, people from flooding victims, victims of disaster, of wildfires in America, we're going to withhold emergency funds from them until they agree to support Israel. If I was pro-Israel, I'd be like, what the hell are you doing? Do not do that. Do not make that a contingency on getting emergency funds. Do you want people to hate us? But I'm not pro-Israel. I just said this is just perfectly in line with everything else that I've seen. And there's nothing particularly egregious about this, like out of the ordinary. This has been the case for years in a lot of states. And finally, people are just waking up to it and realizing how ridiculous this is, which, okay, great. Welcome to the party. But this has been the case for a very long time, as we've reported on forever. So they removed it. The outrage was such that they tried to quietly obscure what they'd done and act like they didn't just get caught. From InfoWars, DHS removes provision withholding disaster funding for cities and states not supporting Israeli companies. The Department of Homeland Security moved to strike a provision from its disaster relief funding guidelines that instructed withholding aid from cities or states that boycott companies tied to Israel. Steve Bannon's War Room co-host Natalie Winters reported the development Monday. The Trump administration quietly removed the unpopular proposal after it was criticized for putting other nations before America. White House officials told DHS guidance had been updated to show no Israel requirement, Winters wrote on X Monday, writing, it still bars recipients from operating programs that benefit illegal immigrants. The removed section of the DHS guidance said this, quote, discriminatory prohibited boycott means refusing to deal, cutting commercial relations, or otherwise limiting commercial relations specifically with Israeli companies or companies doing business in or with Israel or authorized by, licensed by, or organized under the laws of Israel to do business. And then it was updated. The move was celebrated as a win by Trump supporters, keen on seeing this administration put America first. However, many commented it's disturbing it appeared in the guidelines in the first place and wondered whether the DHS would have stricken the provision without the intense online backlash. And of course, they wouldn't have, and they tried to do this quietly. And how they did it was a little bit subversive and dishonest. From S2 underscore underground, after this circulated on social media this morning, the Department of Homeland Security has apparently decided to secretly violate the Federal Records Act by surreptitiously editing this file. The best part, they forgot to scrub the metadata from the PDF, which confirms not only the name of the person who last edited the file, but also the exact time which it was edited, which happened to be 4:30 p.m. today. The DHS deleted this PDF from their website and re-uploaded a new document, hoping no one would notice. The name of the PDF itself keeps the version 3 label and the same upload date. Absolutely nothing on their website indicates that any update to the files took place. But the file is completely different, and on page 6, all reference to Israel are now gone. There was no statement issued or any acknowledgement at all that the files were switched, but they were, and the metadata confirms it. Of course, some of us kept the receipts. I have a copy of the original file, which you can download here if you wish. And so they show that basically they took down and re-uploaded this PDF, making massive changes, but then not altering the data, not announcing that they were changing it, acting like this was always the proposal they put forward. This was always version 3, when in reality, it had been massively changed and the metadata showed it. While DHS removed the explicit requirement for states and cities to certify they won't boycott Israel to receive disaster aid, the clause was reworded as a ban on, quote, discriminatory prohibited boycotts. Homeland Security confirmed that boycotting Israel is still considered a form of anti-Semitic discrimination, meaning the policy remains in effect. It's just been vaguely rephrased. Okay, so from at DHS.gov, Homeland Security on X, they say, there is no FEMA requirement tied to Israel in any current NOFO. No states have lost funding and no new conditions have been imposed. FEMA grants remain governed by existing law and policy and not political litmus tests. DHS will enforce all anti-discriminatory laws and policies, including as it relates to the BDS movement, which is expressly grounded in anti-Semitism. Those who engage in racial discrimination should not receive a single dollar of federal funding. So it's still there. So it's still in place. So it wasn't actually removed. So they tried to, you know, quietly insert this provision. Everybody noticed, got mad at it. They then tried to quietly remove the provision without actually acknowledging they were removing it, while still admitting that actually it still applies. And even though the explicit language about Israel in particular has been removed, the actual purpose and meaning of the law or of the update remains. You will still be discriminated against and federal funds will be withheld from you if you participate in discriminatory action, which they consider BDS to be discriminatory action. Now, that's, of course, absurd and ridiculous on the face of it, but this is the purpose of instituting and adopting the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism. That's why we made such a big deal about that. That's why that was a necessary step in achieving all these other things. Is they go, well, since we now define anti-Israel sentiment as anti-Semitic, then they can say things like the BDS movement is, quote, expressly grounded in anti-Semitism. It's not. It's grounded in anti-Israel activism, which under the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, which the DHS adopted either earlier this year or last year under the Biden administration, they adopted this definition of anti-Semitism, so they can now say the BDS is an anti-Semitic organization, even though it's purely anti-Israeli because of that new definition they've adopted. So it didn't go away. They are still going to withhold funds if you don't actively support the West Bank terror settlements. And again, that's what this is all about. So they say it's grounded in anti-Semitism. In reality, it's not even really anti-Israel. It's just anti-expansion of the West Bank settlements. That is at the heart of the BDS movement. Now, maybe it's expanded out to be, you know, any company with doing business in Israel. But at least from the beginning and, you know, in the official BDS, you know, organization's statements, it's about denying funding to companies that contribute to the West Bank settlements, which are illegal settlements, which violate various accords and international agreements and international law. Even, you know, this according to American statements and official American policy. So how can that be anti-Semitic? It's not only not anti-Semitic, it's not even really anti-Israel, it's just anti-Israeli terror. But that, according to the IRHA definition, is to be anti-Semitic and therefore can fall under the line of discrimination and will therefore not receive funds. So it hasn't changed. So they are just still doing this. So the whole reversal thing, it's just a trick. It was just a fraud. It was just a lie. And they tried to cover it up and pretend like they didn't even modify it when obviously they did. And they simply removed the language that made it explicit what they were doing and instead made it more vague while not changing the underlying purpose and cause of the version at all. And then here you can see the original file date from April 18th, 2025, the edited version, August 4th, 2025. Before the file was changed, it had that language explicitly about Israel. After the edits, the section pertaining to Israel has been completely removed and replaced by the next line. However, the version number and the date remain the same on both versions as if this update never happened. Sort of Orwellian in that way. So that's what's happening with the BDS thing. And again, you've got from Dominique Michael Trippi, Republican Party is reportedly facing a generational revolt over U.S. support of Israel. And you really just have to ask, do they care about this? What is their plan to fix this? And why are they doing everything they possibly can to exacerbate this anger and fury? I mean, Mike Johnson is not only in Israel making sweet love to the Wailing Wall after ending the congressional term early so they can not expose the Epstein files, saying, and according to Gunther Eagleman on X, he's like, yeah, Mike Johnson told me personally that he would be spending the recess in his district talking to voters. And now he's in Israel at the Wailing Wall. Like, even Gunther Eagleman, who's been pretty diehard pro-MAGA, you know, Israel supporter. Like, it's too much. It's too in your face. It's too offensive. And it's like every time the right wing gets outraged, some new outrageous, you know, bending of the knee, genuflection, worshiping at the feet of Israel, their response is to double down on their worship of Israel. And here's Mike Johnson. After visiting a Jewish settlement, Speaker Mike Johnson declared that Christian scripture promises the West Bank to the Jewish people in its entirety. Quote, scripture teaches us that the mountains of Judea and Samaria were promised to the Jewish people and they belong to them by right. Meanwhile, Israeli settler attacks on Tebe, the last fully Christian town in the West Bank, have intensified in the recent months, and Johnson made no mention of it. There are still like 50,000 Christians in the West Bank, and that's the Speaker of the House of America, Mike Johnson, saying they should all be eradicated and replaced with Jews. That the whole area needs to be Judaized and removed of the non-Jewish elements, which would include 50,000 Christians who have been a community there since Jesus walked around. I mean, Bethlehem, Jesus' birthplace. And this guy, Mike Johnson, is saying every Christian needs to be removed from the region. And you wonder why there's a revolt amongst the youth against Israel. Because you keep spitting in our face. So what is the strategy here? What is the plan here? Honestly. Are they just destroying the Republican Party? Is that it? And what would the purpose of that be? Like, how are they so tone deaf in their responses? I think the answer is, it's just pride, I think. It's just sort of like a variety of like the seven deadly sins just working together. And I just think they've overstretched themselves. I really think they've exposed themselves too much. And it's not possible anymore to sort of recede into the background and act like this isn't happening, which would be one strategy. Right, for the Republicans, kind of like what we just saw with the, like that, that's one strategy, is you pretend it's not happening. You keep everything in place, but you aren't quite so explicit about it in hopes that it all flies under the radar. Right, that's one strategy, but that's not going to work. Because like what we just saw, we're aware of it now. Everybody's talking about it now. So even if you pretend to remove the language about Israel, we can all still see that the program is still in place. You're still withholding funds. Emergency funds for Americans, by Americans, for Americans to recover. You're withholding those for the sake of Israel, and we're not going to stand for that. We're going to keep talking about it. We're going to keep speaking out about it. So it's almost like, okay, they can't just quietly reverse course or act like they're reversing course, because we're not going to fall for that. So instead, they're just doubling down and I guess just acting like they can, you know, browbeat us into submission and just keep it going and, you know, act like the division isn't happening or act like the solution is just to double down on the Israel worship. It's not going to work. So they're really just accelerating things. And like I said yesterday, even if it's not 5D chess, the outcome is Trump and the Republicans are being so pro-Israel, it's making everybody else be anti-Israel. It's making everybody be anti-Israel. Even diehard Republicans, even the likes of Gunther Eagleman, are just like offended at how sycophantic Mike Johnson and Trump are towards Israel, and it's turning everybody against Israel. So what is the long-term play here? What is the long-term play? And the long-term play may be that they're putting anti-Semitism laws in place so they'll just be able to arrest you shortly and they don't have to worry about your outrage.
Historians have pointed it out for thousands of years. Most people, when history is happening right in front of them, don't realize it until later. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars has changed the world. You are the InfoWar. You're the eyes and ears. You're the reason we're on the air. You're the reason we're having so much success. And the bad guys hate InfoWars above all other independent populist media. So if you want to keep us on the air and take part in history, we have a limited edition, murdered out InfoWars fundraiser shirt, black on black, at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you get all the other apparel for way lower prices. We've got a big deal going right now where you buy one, you get one free if you're a VIP. That's incredible for the supplements as well. But with this shirt, we've marked it up a bit for those of you that really want to support the InfoWar and get this limited edition shirt. So get your InfoWars limited edition murdered out shirt right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is a limited edition. Thanks for your support, and thanks for being part of history.
You might as well go to thealexjonesstore.com and get this methylene blue. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this is the best product you guys have ever had. It's just absolutely fantastic.
It's insane.
It'll take me an hour to explain why. Just go and buy it. I'm expecting 2 bottles tomorrow.
Absolutely. I want to tell the audience a little bit about what to experience on Methylene Blue. I know we've talked about it incessantly. We've had basically every guest take it. We've run ad after ad after ad for it. Talk to your doctor. But as long as you're not on SSRIs, this could be the best thing that you've ever taken. A lot of stuff that's good for you. You take it, and it is good for you, but you don't necessarily feel it. Take B12 every single day. You might not necessarily feel it. Maybe if it builds up in your system, you'll start noticing that you have more energy and you're getting sick less often. I understand, but Methylene Blue is one of the few products over the counter out there that you will physically feel within 30 minutes unless you have supernatural mitochondria health. And it's not just the way that your body feels, even though there are sensations. It's the way that your state of mind completely changes. It doesn't make you a different person. You just realize that your thoughts are more organized, that a veil is lifted, that you have clarity of focus, that you have more energy, but you're not jittery, that there's no crash, that you could still go to sleep if you wanted to, but you don't feel like you're falling asleep every single day. I mean, Methylene Blue is something that I will take for the rest of my life. And you can look into all the studies and the conversations from RFK Jr. to Mel Gibson to Chase Hughes. They've done studies on the effects of Methylene Blue where people take it and then they do red light therapy and the benefits are just absolutely astounding. You're absorbing more oxygen. Your mitochondria are totally fired up. Your body is absorbing more energy from the sun itself. It's like super chlorophyll for a human body. And you'll feel better. And you'll feel the hot blood running through your veins. And you'll understand that you're focused, that you have more energy, and you won't be jittery. And there isn't a come down. It helps your body absorb more of the oxygen that you breathe in. Literally the stuff that life is made of. Isn't it said in Genesis that God breathed life into Adam? Well, this makes you be able to make the most out of God's breath into you. And look, our whole purpose on this earth is to honor God. We are his creation. And so what better way to honor him than becoming the best versions of ourselves? It's called self-actualization. When you actually become all you can potentially become. And our bodily health is part of that. Our intellectual health, our mind health is part of that. And then the good that we do in the world is part of that. And so by going to thealexjonesstore.com right now and getting Methylene Blue, you're fighting for your body and your mind and for humanity at the same time. You're doing what God calls all of us to do. Methylene Blue will be one of the best decisions that you ever make.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have some breaking news here. Some very exciting stuff happening. Comer, James Comer, subpoenas the Clintons, Trump's DOJ, and House Oversight's Epstein probe. The House Oversight Committee has subpoenaed former President Bill Clinton and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton for testimony regarding Jeffrey Epstein, Fox News Digital has learned. Committee Chair James Comer of Kentucky sent a flurry of subpoenas related to Epstein on Tuesday morning, with the Clintons being just two of the people the House investigators are looking to hear from. Comer also sent a subpoena to the Department of Justice for records related to Epstein's case. Others who are being compelled to appear are former FBI directors James Comey and Robert Mueller, as well as ex-attorneys general Loretta Lynch, Eric Holder, William Barr, Jeff Sessions, and Alberto Gonzalez. A House Oversight Committee subcommittee panel voted to subpoena each of the individuals as well as the DOJ in two respective votes last month,
during an unrelated hearing. It comes after Comer followed through on earlier full committee vote to subpoena Ghislaine Maxwell, a close former Epstein associate who was sentenced to 20 years in prison for her role in a scheme to sexually exploit and abuse multiple minor girls with Jeffrey Epstein over the course of a decade, according to a press release by the Southern District of New York. Comer has agreed to delay Maxwell's deposition until after the Supreme Court heard her petition to overturn the conviction. However, the committee is giving the DOJ until August 19th to turn in records related to Epstein's case, Fox News Digital has learned. Hillary Clinton, rather, has been compelled to appear on October 9th and Bill Clinton on October 14th, according to letters sent to both of them respectfully. Lynch and Holder are being compelled to appear on September 19th and 30th. Barr and Sessions are subpoenaed to appear August 18th and 28th. So they're all being compelled to appear, including Gonzalez, the attorney general who served under former President George W. Bush. It's not immediately clear how much information the subpoenas will yield or if those subpoenaed will cooperate with the House Oversight Committee at all. The late pedophile Epstein committed suicide in 2019 while awaiting prosecution on federal sex trafficking charges. The GOP base has fractured over the current administration's handling of the case, however. Far-right figures like Steve Bannon and Laura Loomer have accused the DOJ of mishandling something that's long been seen as a priority for Trump's base. Trump stood by Attorney General Pam Bondi has directed her to release any credible evidence related to Epstein in a bid to quell the infighting. So, Representative James Comer wrote this on X. The House Oversight Committee is compelling the following individuals to appeal for depositions through issued subpoenas. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Merrick Garland, October 2nd. Former FBI Director James Comey, October 7th. William Barr, August 18th. Gonzalez, August 26th. Jeff Sessions, 28th. Robert Mueller, September 2nd. Loretta Lynch, September 9th. Eric Holder, September 30th. How do we feel about this? Again, this is just breaking, so I'm just sort of responding to this in real time. There's more demands being made. But why does this feel like tour dates to me? This feels like when a band announced their tour dates. We're going to be in Wichita October 9th. We're going to be in Minneapolis October 14th. And it's like, what is this exactly? Why are these hearings being stretched out over multiple months? And what would be the purpose of that? And what are they being subpoenaed about? I'm a little bit confused at this. So basically, we're going to have to talk about Epstein for the next 3 months, is what they're telling us. So the next 3 months at least, and nothing's going to happen with Epstein as we make our way through the Hollywood production of these subpoena hearings. Are these going to be public hearings? Are we going to get to hear their answers? Are they going to be behind closed doors? I don't know how I feel about this. In fact, I'm going to open up the phone lines. I'm going to take your calls on what this means. Give us a call, 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. I want to know what you think this is all about. Why is this happening? Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Merrick Garland, James Comey, William Barr, Alberto Gonzalez, Jeff Sessions, Robert Mueller, Loretta Lynch, Eric Holder. Because another aspect of this is that Merrick Garland, James Comey, Bill Barr, Jeff Sessions, Robert Mueller, and unless I'm misremembering, pretty sure all these people have testified in front of Congress and have lied directly to Congress's face before. So I guess the question is, are they going to lie again? And if so, what's the recompense there? Why are we, you know, subpoenaing them to question them when we should be arresting them from all of the evidence that we already have of their various misdeeds, their breaking of oaths, their violating of, you know, perjury laws? I mean, why do we have to listen to them? Why are we giving Bill or Hillary Clinton a platform to talk about this when they should just be arrested and interrogated in some back room somewhere? Former FBI Director James Comey, I mean, he has just blatantly lied in official congressional testimony before. He has committed perjury about leaking information to the press verbatim. He's never paid a price. A couple months ago, he was tweeting out, kill Donald Trump to push his new book. And so what, we're going to bring him up so we can lie to our faces again? I don't want to stand for that. I don't care what he has to say. He should be in prison. So, okay, all right, maybe, you know, maybe I'm supposed to be excited about this, but I don't want to be talking about for this for 3 months. What are you talking about? Oh, my God. Just release the damn files. What are we doing here? Maybe this will all lead to something. I'll be happy to see that. But I can't help but think that the deep state is losing the information war, so they're scrambling. And their solution is basically just make it look like we're doing something. They basically have been forced into a position where they have to make it look like they're doing something. And so they're really trying to do as much nothing as they possibly can. So they'll talk about DOJ referrals. They'll talk about grand jury summons. They'll talk about subpoenas for Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and James Comey. None of it matters until they're in handcuffs. I don't care about how we get to that point. I guess I'll report on it. But friends, I don't believe any of it until these people are in handcuffs. So now we're going to have the Jeffrey Epstein speaking tour, where every week we're going to get a new series of testimony from Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. So we'll keep this going. I mean, it's almost like they've just planned out the season of a TV show. Episode 1, Bill Clinton. Episode 2, Hillary Clinton. We'll have a cliffhanger mid-season with James Comey, and then we come back. And it's like, I don't want to watch a TV series about this. I want them to go to prison. Am I wrong? Should I be celebrating this? Should I be happy about this? The House Oversight Committee has subpoenaed the Justice Department for files related to late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, a major move that comes as many congressional Republicans call for more transparency around the case. Demands for more information on Epstein has roiled Capitol Hill in recent weeks. Demands for more information about Jeffrey Epstein? No, we want the evidence that's already been compiled. You know the multiple cases that Jeffrey Epstein went through? You remember the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell? Remember how they were both convicted? Where's the evidence? Remember how there was hard drives and DVDs and binders full of information and servers full of information that Jeffrey Epstein had collected? Remember all the security cameras throughout all of his compounds, his various homes all over the world? That's what we want. At a certain point, you have to stop gathering evidence and start the trials. I don't want any more information about, we have all of the information about Jeffrey Epstein we could ever possibly want. We want the convictions of the people he was collaborating with. We want convictions for the illegal activities of those covering up his crimes. And we want the information that you have in your possession and that you're not giving us. But now we're going to get to watch season 1 of the Jeffrey Epstein Chronicles. Tune in next Friday to find out what Hillary Clinton's going to lie to us about and then get away with. One of these days, folks, one of these days, we're going to elect real patriots into office. And at that point, it's going to be a matter of hours before everything in America is fixed. None of these problems are insurmountable. None of them should really even be that big of issues. And if Republicans were actually patriotic Americans that put America first and had gumption and the brass balls necessary to contend with this cacophony of freaks called the left, it would not be an issue. It would not be a problem. Because take a look at the redistricting going on in Texas right now. If you were to aggressively pursue what the law entails, everything the Democrats do would backfire on them tremendously. And this is the way the Democrats do it, right? Look at the way they treated Roger Stone. Roger Stone didn't do anything wrong, but they cook up something to get a grand jury indictment on him. And then they subpoena him, bring him in, ask him a whole bunch of questions, find one place where he may be misremembered or it could at least be construed as he possibly phrased something incorrectly. And then you call CNN and have them there on scene, ready to live stream as you kick down his door in the early hours of the morning. Okay, that's how the left does things. The right needs to fight fire with fire. So, yeah, you put forward the redistricting map, and if the Democrats flee, you arrest them, and then you strip them of their position, you strip them of their status as a senator or a congressman in the Texas legislature, and then you pass whatever the hell you want without them there. You subpoena them, you force them to answer a crap ton of questions, they're going to lie, and you arrest them for lying. Now, the problem is they've already lied to us so many times. They've already been under oath and flagrantly lied to our faces, and then they get away with it. So until we have Republicans willing to just do what's necessary to achieve justice, we're just going to be stuck in this endless system of Republicans trying to do the right thing, trying to get justice, trying to, you know, redo the congressional district map or whatever else is just normal business of the government. And then you're going to have leftists just going completely insane, but destroying the entire process and then getting away with it because Republicans don't hold them to account. But any of these, I mean, same thing with the, you know, immigration crap. Like if Republicans actually aggressively went after leftists, it really wouldn't be an issue, man. You send a bunch of ICE agents to arrest, legal immigrant. If there's some local politician that wants to step up and get in the way, then fine, arrest her too and throw her in prison. Hey, look, they're down a seat in the local, council. You just punish them when they break the law. It's just really very, 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 very simple. So I'm not seeing that here. I'm not convinced this is a aggressive move against the Democrats. This smells like a cover-up to me, and I don't like it. Let's go out to your call, see how you people think about this. Let's go to line number four. Alan in California thinks this is all kabuki theater. Go ahead, Alan. You're on the air.
Harrison, my man, you're doing the Lord's work as usual. Hey, I want to give you your spidey sense is very accurate. You're on track on that. Do you remember you filled in for Owen on the War Room like a month ago? And I called in and I told you then the real saboteur, the one pulling the levers and twisting the dials is Pam Bondi. Okay, so you want to know who they're working for? Susie Wiles ran Netanyahu's campaign to become the prime minister recently. She runs the White House. She's the one that kiboshed Matt Gaetz to make sure that Pam Bondi would be in. And I'm telling you now, you are right. One of two things going to happen. Bill and Hillary will probably just do their deposition or whatever the heck it is behind closed doors. Or we'll get Hillary Clinton part due when she's going to say in front on television and CNN will play it. What difference at this point does it make anyway? And by the way, this is all going to distract us, everybody, from what Israel is committing the genocide. Because now for the next 2-3 months, it's going to be the Epstein Chronicles. Like you said, it's like a rock band on tour. It's just a distraction because Israel's running the White House, my friend. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize to me. I've been saying it as anybody else has. Yeah.
Yeah, you're already talking about this now instead of we should be focusing on stopping Israel committing a genocide of Christians in Palestine. But now we're talking about the help of
Mike Johnson and others. All right, so you think my spidey sense is right. I would love to be wrong, but I'm not seeing it. All right, thank you for the call, Alan. And it looks like
from what I'm seeing with most people. Most people agree. But let's just go through. So try to keep your comments short, please. Let's go to Cheeky Friend in Washington State. Cheeky, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Harrison.
Good morning.
Yeah, this whole Epstein thing, let me tell you something. I got onto Twitter because that's where you could get what Trump was actually saying. Then he got kicked off Twitter and he created Trump Truth Social. So I went over there for a while. And let me tell you what, that whole time up until the election, pretty much every other post was Epstein this and Frazzle Drip that and all sorts of crazy pedophilia in Hollywood. You know, it's very well known within the so-called MAGA world that Epstein is the thread to pull to unravel the deep state sweater. Mm. So, like, that's well known within the MAGA, especially the MAGA boomer world, like that, because that's what truth is. It's basically just boomer slop, you know. So I don't really know what's going on, but I do know that everybody on the right knew that this was the string to pull to unravel the sweater, and everybody on the left up until recently thought it was all just conspiracy theory. Now they want it out. So I don't really know what's going on.
And the left just sees this as a weapon against Trump and have no genuine care about elite pedophilia. Anyway, they've spent the last 10 years mocking the entire concept. So I think you're right. Again, I'm going to try to get to a few more calls here. We are going to be joined by Brian Bodine in the next segment. And I think we're only going to spend about 30 minutes with him. So if you want to stay on the line, I'll go to calls after that. I got a lot more videos to play as well. And I have a very interesting twist to this that I may try to get to in this segment or maybe the first 5 minutes of the next hour, but I'm just going to try to get to as many calls as possible here. Al Killer in Virginia, your take on Israel and Epstein. Go, sir.
Hey, so, well, real quick, I was all for letting them go into absentia, and just like Napoleon. However, since they won't go away, as soon as Comey would have tweeted out those seashells, they should have had the Marines go in with those jetpacks on, like when they board a ship, and carry him out by his 8-foot Nephilim ass by each foot and have everything in his pockets falling out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way these people are going to learn. As far as the Epstein thing goes, it's clear to me that they're going for a pardon for Ghislaine Maxwell. And the reason I'm saying this is that Dershowitz gave an interview, I think it was the Daily Mail, on June 6th, before Israel starts bombing Iran, calling for a pardon for Ghislaine Maxwell. He's just on Glenn Beck again 3 days ago doing this. So that seems to be the campaign where she's going to give up names that we all want to see and everybody we want to see in jail. But at the end of the day, they'll keep under wraps really who was controlling the show, and because they don't want to expose that it was a joint operation with our intelligence agency and the Mossad. Lastly, I mean, Mike Johnson, that's the fruit of Protestantism, unfortunately. It's Enlightenment, Illuminati, Christianity, where you just make up your own, and unfortunately it becomes a cult, where you have people actually creating foreign policy based off stuff that is not biblical. It was never taught. You don't find it in the Orthodox Church. You don't find it in the Catholic Church. And unfortunately, that is what happened when everybody becomes their own pope. That's pretty much all I got to say.
Well, a bunch of good points. Don't really disagree with you. Thank you for the call, Al Killer. Let's go to Jamie in North Carolina now. Jamie, you are on the air. Go ahead. What do you think's going on here?
This Kabuki theater. Joe, this here no good. We need Biden. We need Biden back. At least we know he's stupid.
You think it's all Kabuki theater, huh?
It's Kabuki theater.
So what do we do?
Really, what we do, we make America China. That's what Donald Trump is doing. America, it'll be China.
Hell, hey, I'll tell you one thing. China wouldn't let their billionaires get away with this.
China love billionaire.
You know Jack Ma, billionaire from China, he went and kissed the Western Wall. You know what happened to him? He disappeared right after. Hey, they disappeared him for daring to go show fealty to a foreign nation. So
they're no good. They're no good.
Hey, say what you want about China. They don't let their billionaires get away with this stuff. Thank you for the call, Jamie. Anything else?
China love billionaire.
They love billionaires.
China love billionaire. They want to make billionaire everybody.
Yeah, well,
Everybody.
You just don't cross
them. I'm going to quit playing. For real. I love you, Harrison. You're like my favorite. I want to shout out to my dad, Jim. I know you're listening. I turned him on to InfoWars, and, I just love it. And I know God's got a plan. Trump's just a man. Everybody needs to back up and really put into perspective where we really are.
Amen.
It's a distraction. You know that.
I do. Thank you so much, Jamie. That was a great call. Let's go to Inner City Rogue in Denver about these new subpoenas. Inner City Rogue, you're on the air.
Hi, am I coming through all right, Harrison?
It's a little noisy. Are you near a waterfall by chance?
Let me get somewhere here quiet.
We got a couple people in the Rocky Mountains. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm out of work here. So, these subpoenas, it's all kabuki theater. You could obviously tell that there's, a lot of stuff to talk about, but they just want you distracted and keeping false hope in the system. And that's what we got to stop doing. The false hope in Trump has got to stop. We know that there's something wrong with him. We know that this isn't even the same Trump. I mean, he's being completely defensive, and it's not hard at this point to see that he's controlled and blackmailed for whatever reason. I mean, if he was involved in Epstein with some girls or whatever, I mean, that's believable at this point. We'd be willing to forgive him, but he doesn't want to be honest, but we're waiting for that born again moment that Alex Jones was talking about. We gave him the benefit of the doubt after he got shot. Maybe he's born again. He's changed. He's going to start fighting this new world order. But
well, look,
I don't think so, man.
I've said it forever. I mean, Americans are so desperate, and we genuinely are, like, understanding and forgiving people. Like, as a message out there to any Republican, politician that's wrapped up in this, just come clean, man. Just come out and say what they have over you. Like, we would rather you just go, look, I got tricked into something. Here's what they got on me, but I'm not being a slave anymore. I'm not going to be blackmailed anymore. If you want to get rid of me because of what I did, fine, but, I'm not going to be extorted. Do the David Letterman. Remember somebody tried to extort David Letterman about his extramarital affair, and he just went out on his TV show and went, I cheated on my wife, and they're trying to hold it over my head, and I'm not going to let them. And everybody went, yay, Dave. You're great. You're amazing. Thank you for being so honest with us. What a breath of fresh air. No, we're not happy you cheated on your wife, but that sounds horrible being extorted like that. I'm glad you learned your lesson. Thanks for coming clean. Like, that would be the response. Honestly, if people came out and said, here's what happened. Here's how I'm being blackmailed. I'm not doing it anymore. America is more important to me than my legacy. We would forgive you. I swear to God, we would forgive you. We just don't want our country being controlled anymore. We just want to not be involved in wars overseas because you're scared of everybody knowing you're gay. Like, just come out and say it and let's move on. And if you're such a liability, you'll go down in history as being the person that gave up their power for what's right.
I'm cutting this on July 30th, 2025. That means you've got 7 days to take advantage of one of the biggest sales in the history of thealexjonesstore.com. If you buy any of our amazing supplements, the Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, all of the great products are there right now. Buy one already discounted, get the very same bottle, the very same product, absolutely free, but it's only running for 7 days. When you're a VIP, for $30 a month, you get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special discounts, and more. That's how you take advantage of the buy one, get one free. This is only for VIP members, but anybody going to the store should be a VIP because you get $40 for subscribing for $30 a month. You make money on that, and you can cancel anytime. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for your support.
Ultimate Fish Oil is not just a supplement, but a statement.
Morning. Morning.
Not only can Ultimate Fish Oil from InfoWarsStore.com help your heart, mind, and joints, but it keeps InfoWars on the air.
Morning. Morning.
Your heart is the engine of your life, and Ultimate Fish Oil is the premium fuel it craves.
Morning. Morning. Morning.
Ultimate Fish Oil is your cognitive clarity captain. The DHA in this formula is a foundational stone for brain health. Ultimate Fish Oil is your joint health general. The soothing reduction in inflammation ensures you'll feel invincible in the info war. InfoWars has never wavered from its mission, and with Ultimate Fish Oil, neither will you. Step up to the plate, nourish your body, and nourish the fight for a future where the new world order is defeated. Get it now at InfoWarsStore.com.
Welcome back. We're going to be joined shortly by Brian Bodine to talk about the way that the GOP establishment is handling this division. Now, what if I told you, that the entire Epstein file saga is a giant psyop out of Israel, specifically because Trump is not actually pro-Israel? Does that sound crazy? Does that sound like some QAnon stuff? Does that sound wildly anti-Semitic to you? Because that's what they say they're doing. Okay, this is from the Times of Israel, the blog from Yosef Janowski, called Trump, Israel, and the Epstein Files. I'm just going to read this verbatim. See if we can get through in this first 5 minutes. Trump and his administration criticized Netanyahu and Israel, and now the Epstein Files are haunting him. Okay, that's really all you need to know, but I'll continue. Well, we're going to read it again. Trump and his administration criticized Netanyahu and Israel, and now the Epstein files are haunting him. For a long time, the files had subsided in the background. They weren't considered to be much of a threat to Trump, but all of a sudden, right after he started up with Israel, the files surfaced, and they seemed to be overwhelming him. Trump blasted Bibi after shrapnel hit a church in Gaza. The church is in a war zone. It was not targeted. Rather, shrapnel from a nearby explosion hit it. Still, Trump berated Bibi and demanded he publicly express regret. After Israel bombed places in Syria in order to protect the Druze, administration officials from the White House referred to Bibi as a madman. It seems Trump's ambitions, maybe to sign business and oil deals with Syria, or maybe to win the Nobel Peace Prize, are more important to him than preventing the slaughter of the Druze, more important to him than stopping Israeli Druze from crossing into Syria, something that would greatly escalate fighting and bloodshed. Huckabee also chimed in, blasting Israel for withholding visas from evangelical groups. It seems that Israel wants to first ensure the groups don't plan to missionize, but Huckabee seems insensitive to Israel's concerns. He's so insensitive. They just want to make sure that Christians don't spread their religion. He's so insensitive to that concern. You know, they want to make sure that you're just not able to actually express your religious views in their accepting an open and tolerant state. Amazing. Trump decided to bomb Iran's nuclear sites, and that's commendable. But reports later surfaced that he rejected the option to bomb for a week's time in order to finish off all the sites. Thus, only Fordo was severely damaged, while other sites only had minimal or no damage. So you see, with everything Trump has done, with everything Trump has committed for Israel, they are not satisfied. It's not enough for them. He bombed Iran, yeah, but only once. He was supposed to bomb for a whole week. He's supposed to be bombing to this day. They're supposed to have boots on the ground. The scumbag. He was mad that Israel was bombing Syria. How dare he? They don't like that Israel's blocking evangelical groups from entering into their country. The temerity of the Huckabees. And so now the Epstein list is going to be a big problem for you. That's what you get for messing with Israel. And by the way, what I just said, pretty much verbatim, the next line. Okay, so they run through all these things about how the Trump administration, despite being suicidally committed to Israel, they're not doing enough. It's not enough. They occasionally criticize Bibi Netanyahu, and therefore, quote, and now some old files are threatening him. Perhaps Trump will realize that it doesn't pay to start up with Israel. Perhaps those implicated in the files will express contrition and regret. Because when, by divine providence, things were hidden become revealed, it enables people to correct their mistakes and to endeavor to live their lives properly the way God wants them to. And everyone sees that the world is not a jungle and that God Almighty runs the world with compassion, giving humans the ability to fix what's wrong so we can have peace with true ethics, as God told Moses at Mount Sinai to tell all the nations to adhere to the 7 Noahide laws. A peaceful world which will be filled of awareness with God just as the waters cover the sea, and it may happen soon. 7 Noahide laws. So they're telling you, pretty much verbatim, because Trump is not sufficiently pro-Israel, because he's criticizing Netanyahu, and because his administration is not willfully going along with the discrimination against Christians in Israel, now the Epstein files are haunting them. And maybe one day they'll, you know, repent for how they treated Israel, and then Israel will leave them alone. Because to them, whatever they do is God's will. Understand that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm cutting this on the afternoon of July 30th, 2025. You have 7 days from this date to buy one bottle of any of our amazing supplements, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, the list goes on and on, Ultimate Life Force, and get a bottle absolutely free. But you got to be a VIP. But that's the best part. This catch is a great deal. You spend $30 a month being a subscriber and cancel any time, and you get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers just sent to you, and you can cancel any time. So you make $10 by becoming a subscriber. You can cancel any time. This is only running for 7 days. Experience Ultramethylene Blue. Experience the other incredible supplements. But also, the buy one, get one free goes for the ball caps, the t-shirts, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. Those of you who've ever gotten products, now's the time. It'll blow you away. Get the Methylene Blue, bare minimum, at thealexofstore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. Third hour of American Journal is on. I want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com, to support everything that we do here, which is just, tell you the truth, just react in perfect sincerity to the news that is being presented. Always with the touchstone and the ultimate grounding, principled stance of being pro-America, embodying the spirit of 1776, understanding that for anybody of any race, color, and creed to thrive, then we all have to share in equal account the benefits of this great country, and that by submitting ourselves to foreign powers and by allowing foreign powers to infiltrate our country, our government has been turned against us, and we have to re-seize it so that we can, against all odds, peacefully regain power in this world and start to benefit humanity rather than work in abject opposition to the free will of our fellow humans. So please, for the love of goodness, go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Keep us on the air in the fight and continuing to deal with this huge and ever-expanding landscape of double dealing and deception and manipulation and psychological operations that we refer to as the American government and its various subsidiaries. Now, we're having a little trouble connecting with our guest, Brian Bodine, so that's not good news. The good news is we get to take your calls. But I think we need to give more attention to articles like this, where they pretty much say without really any, you know, disguise, that basically because Iran, because Trump didn't bomb Iran for a week straight, because he complained about them bombing churches, because they're making official statements castigating Israel for their discrimination against Christian groups, well, now the Epstein files are a big problem for him. You know, that's another aspect of this where it's like, if they were just honest, like Trump is blaming the Democrats about the Epstein files, which is ridiculous, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows it's everybody on the right that wants the Epstein files. Everybody knows that the concept of the topic of elite pedophilia was never a pet topic of the Democrats, ever. And so why would he say that? You know, maybe the reality is it wasn't Obama and Biden that changed the files or inserted stuff or whatever the claim is. Maybe it's Israel. And if that's the case, why didn't he just say that? You know, I just want to, and like on the topic of like InfoWars and our position and like where we're coming from, I want to remind you that the smears that we're currently being subjected to are not anything new. And they're taking the same tack and they're using the same argumentative techniques that they used in the early 2000s in the war on terror, when at the time they were calling Alex Jones a communist and saying that, you know, we were some sort of leftist infiltration into the right wing because we were against the wars because there were no weapons of mass destruction and it wasn't beneficial to America and it was all predicated on lies. Claims that we have been absolutely verified and absolutely confirmed, absolute vindication in everything that we believed, despite all the names they called us, despite all the lies they told. Now you look back and everybody knows that we were right the whole time. And we're in that situation again. And so I mentioned the article earlier. Here it's on Front Page Magazine. It's posted by Mark Levin. It's a story by Daniel Greenfield. Getting MAGA to go left on Israel. There's no civil war within MAGA over Israel. There's only leftist infiltration. That's right, folks. Leftists. Leftist infiltration. Okay, so that's the tack they're going with, is if you don't support Israel, it's because you're a leftist. And they expect that to work on right-wingers. Like I said, it's the exact same tactic that they used to, you know, drum up the war with Iran. Oh, you're against, or war with Iraq. Oh, you're against the war with Iraq. You must be a leftist. You must be a liberal. You must be a bleeding heart socialist. That's the only reason you would be against this fake war to kill a million people over weapons that don't exist. It's because you're a leftist. And the only reason you could possibly want to not see children starving to death in some godforsaken open-air prison in the desert is because you must be a left. You must be a socialist. You must be a bleeding heart liberal. Are you being pressured yet? Are you succumbing to the peer pressure? You're supposed to feel bad. You're supposed to feel like, oh, I'm not, you're supposed to feel offensive. I'm not a leftist. No, I mean, I love Israel. I mean, I never said I was anti. I just don't like how they're killing children, but I'll shut up. I'll shut up if that's left wing of me. It's like, this is not going to work. It's not going to, I hope it doesn't work. I hope we've learned the lesson from the last 30 years that you don't succumb to this type of rhetorical nonsense. You just say, shut up. I'm more right wing than you. I'm way more right wing than you ever have been. So, call it leftist infiltration if you want. You're only discrediting yourself, not me. With that, we got to your calls. Patriot in the mountains. Mountain Patriot in the Rockies. Thanks for calling in. Line 7, you're on the air.
Morning, Harrison.
Morning.
These toothless subpoenas are too little, too late. I don't think it's going anywhere. I think Trump's going to end up in a Mossad painting with a syringe sticking out of his neck and a golden pager on his belt and a Q tattooed on his forehead.
That'll complete the trilogy. You've got Bill Clinton in the blue dress, George W. Bush with the Jenga towers and the paper airplanes, and Donald Trump with the golden pager and the syringe. We've completed the trilogy, I think.
I think that's what we're going to get. It's clear at this point that Bonnie's just a dumb blonde whore of Babylon. And what crazy thing is, I keep thinking about Kanye and how he was making fun of Netanyahu and with his fishing net and his little Yoo-hoo can. And I just like, he saw it coming. This guy's a monster, and it's just unreal that we're putting up with it. It's mind-blowing. I mean, a few years ago, we were looking at a civil war between the left and the right, and now it's almost like we're going to have a civil war over all of this Jewry.
The good news is there's an opportunity to break that left-right paradigm and come together and understand that we're all – I mean, and that's why I played so many clips of the, you know, people in Nebraska where it's like – Why do we need to be at each other's throats? Like, we're all pretty much on the same wavelength. It's just, you know, they think that you just need to tax the rich and like they get free healthcare and everything. But either way, the basis of the complaints is there's infinite money for everything we don't want and everything that we need. Oh, sorry. That's out of the budget. We can't handle that. It's infuriating. It's unfair. It's ridiculous. We're taxed to death to pay for stuff that doesn't help us and only helps our enemies. What is the deal here? Can we not come together? Just say America first, and we can make deals. Tell you what, you let us, you know, protect the border, because, you know, obviously the primary problem with the welfare state is that we have open borders. Like, you can't do that. You can't have an open borders and a welfare state. You can have one or the other. So, like, we can make deals. Okay, we'll do some sort of subsidized healthcare situation, but in turn, we got to deport all the illegals and have, you know, strong border protection. Can we not make agreements like that, the left and the right? We give up a little bit of what they want. They give up a little bit of what we want. And together, we stop being slaves of Israel. I think we could come together on that if we really, really, really wanted to, but we don't, apparently. And with that, we'll go to your calls a little bit later in the show, but I'm very excited to welcome my guest, Brian Bodine. He is a Republican activist from Dallas, Texas, who has over a decade of professional experience in grassroots organizing, consulting, legislative advocacy, policy analysis, campaign work, and political fundraising. You can follow him on X at Brian Bodine. And Brian, you got in contact with me about sort of what we're talking about in today's show, the civil war inside the GOP. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you doing?
Thank you, Harrison. How are you? Doing okay. So what happened here this past weekend, the organization, the Young Republican National Federation, I used to be a state chairman of the state federation many years ago. And, you know, when I talk to and advise various young leaders today, they're in their 20s and 30s of this grassroots organization. It's been around for decades. In fact, Roger Stone was the national chairman many years ago in the late 1970s. And what happened in Nashville, they had their biannual convention. And the short of it is they bring together delegates from across the country, from all the various states that are organized by state chapters and by city chapters to vote on their national leadership, to hear from speakers, to network. And historically, this organization has been very center right. You know, there's always been some solid conservatives, you know, some populist types. But there was really an insurgence of what you would call MAGA populist in the last 2 to 4 years. And there never had been anything like this before. It just, you know, it didn't happen in 2016 when Trump hit the scene, but it certainly happened in the past 2 to 4 years. And they showed up at the convention. They were very strong in states like New York, even California. A lot of the big blue states were, you know, Republican activists are pissed off, you know, because like they're not getting anything. You know, not from the national Young Republican leadership and perhaps not from other things. But they showed up with the intent on voting for their candidate, Peter Guenta. He's the head of the New York State Young Republicans and, you know, involved in the Manhattan Young Republican Club, but the New York City Young Republican Club. Alex Jones has actually spoken to, I think, their dinner before, sure, if I'm not mistaken, their Christmas dinner. And so this is a very based, you know, to the right, America first type of Young Republican Club. Other Young Republican clubs in the country, you know, a lot of them are just very, you know, they're moderate, you know, they don't want to rock the boat, very much in the mold of, you know, let's just say Nikki Haley. Okay. A lot, right, of them voted for Nikki Haley in their own straw poll. But what the incumbent faction did, that is Rhino, it's led by Hayden Padgett, who I know well enough and who a lot of the Texas activists know, is him and his allies attempted to de-credential and take away the delegate voting powers of several states that were in favor of his opponent, Peter Guenta. And this might remind you of what happened in at an RNC convention many years ago with Ron Paul supporters being basically kind of disenfranchised at the national Republican convention. And so that was very controversial. But and they used at this Young Republican convention, they used methods like, oh, they kind of shortened the registration process. They suddenly cut it short, saying they were at capacity. They weren't. They were trying to buy time to count votes on a credentials vote that takes place at the beginning of the convention, all on the same, you know, morning, in theory, as when the voting is going to happen. And, that did not go well with the body because, you know, that other side was really worried they were going to lose, you know, the incumbent Rhino faction of the Young Republicans led by Hayden Padgett. And so this is a guy that's, anybody that can do research on the internet, you go on there, you type his name in, Hayden Padgett, and it's going to pull up a video of him supporting Black Lives Matter from 2020, or right as the riots were going down, you know, shortly after George Floyd, you know, tragically died, whatever the reason was for the death. Hayden gets on YouTube and does a video basically endorsing Black Lives Matter. It's very cringe. But I think he just thought he was getting ahead of the curve. He's been all kinds of, moderate on all kinds of Republican issues, just on all kinds of issues, really. And people have known this, but they wanted to push him out. They wanted to get Peter Gutta in. And the methods and the tactics used at this convention by Hayden and his supporters, just trying to throw people out of the convention as well, and trying to interfere with their states, their state federations' kind of delegate selection process to prevent them from selecting delegates that supported his opponent. I mean, it's never been like this before. It's never been this bad. Conventions can be contested, but this was a whole nother level.
Yeah, so it seems like this is sort of another level of the Civil War within the right, because, mostly what we're talking about when we talk about the Civil War on the right is the anti-Israeli versus the pro-Israel people. This seems to be less about Israel and more of just about the establishment Rhino Republicans versus sort of the, resurgent or upsurging MAGA populist Republicans. Can you help break down sort of the ideological friction that's happening here?
Yeah, and again, this organization historically has been controlled by the center right. Its previous national leadership, some of them were never Trumpers. They came out against Donald Trump very early, and some of them even quit, once he got the Republican nomination in 2016. But the breakdown is that you got America First, MAGA populist types that have joined in very large numbers, and they went to vote for Peter, a lot of them. And otherwise, he wouldn't have a chance. He ended up losing very narrowly, because of just the sum total of all these tactics and, that they were using on the incumbent Rhino's side. And I would say that the incumbent Rhino side, that's going to be a lot of your Nikki Haley supporters, globalist types, people that just don't, want to rock the boat. And maybe some of them work in politics and they're worried if they, take a position on anything that's too America First, they might lose their job or get yelled at because they're involved in, young Republicans and they're, taking positions. So that are, just too far to the right, maybe. And so I think there's a little bit of fear there of rocking the boat and that America First could, cause them to, lose friends in their home state just by being involved in the YRNF. But certainly, when we talk about America First, we're talking about holding the Republican Party's feet to the fire, right, making sure they secure the damn border, that they don't try to abuse emergency powers if there's ever some type of a, COVID-like situation again, not getting us involved in the foreign wars, in Eastern Europe, questioning Israel's actions at a minimum, questioning what Israel is doing. Is it really necessary? Are they trying to drag us in? Are they trying to bog America down in another Middle Eastern conflict? Those are good questions. And people that are part of the America First movement, especially a lot of the young people, because, when people are young, I think it's a psychology of the demographic type of thing, Harrison. It's like they want to ask questions, be bold, and that is completely warranted and fair and needed in the party. And so, the best way to break it down would be you have a bold, insurgent, truly America First faction, not like a fusionist America First where, the neocons are trying to get their influence into, kind of the Trump world, that's not America First. We're dealing with this right now. It's like, it's very soft. It's like a soft coup that's going on.
Yeah. Well, it seems like I'm shocked that after, 10 years of Trump leading the Republican Party, just how much control the establishment still has over, some of these organs. And it seems like, they really are waiting for Trump to be out of the way so they can get back to business as usual. And they're like just clinging with their fingernails to these organizations by hook and crook and trick. And I mean, some of the things that, have been alleged that went on at this convention where they're kicking out, delegates because they know how they're going to vote and simply want to, pack the room with their supporters. They're like really desperate to stop the Trump revolution from really coming to fruition. It's still the holdouts of the center right party that are really stopping us. And like, the young Republicans, they should be the, the extremist ones, right? As you point out, I mean, you know, when the older statesmen, they'll come in and say, well, this is just the way things work and you got to work in the system. It's young people that are like, they don't want to hear that. They want change. They want, you know, extreme, movement. They want action. And you should embrace that. And you should have a radical wing of your party. The left never shies away from the radical wing of their party. For some reason, Republicans are obsessed with self-policing and making sure that, you know, the right wing doesn't go too far right and they'll self-police and make sure to come back to the center. We need to take a book from the leftists and go, no, look, they're a little bit more radical and we might not agree with everything, but, you know, they're an important, aspect of our coalition that pushes things forward. And we don't have to go as far as they do, but they help sort of stretch the perimeter in that direction. So, you know, I see this again. It's just the old Republican failures clinging on to power as long as possible. I mean, what do you think happens from here?
Yeah, and you absolutely, I think you're correct. And at a minimum, you have to be asking questions like about, you know, U.S. foreign policy and stuff like that and have open discussions, fair discussions. And I think that's what Peter would have brought. Hayden Padgett and his faction, which prevailed on Saturday very narrowly. You know, they're the type that would shut down discussion. And so what I think happens next is that, you know, a lot of the America First, you know, resurgent type that have gotten involved in the party that supported Peter, just kind of watching X right now and talking to people and then seeing like Tyler Bowler, he's put out some great stuff and what Roger Stone put out on X and even the Persistence. He had some great stuff that he put out in covering the convention. I think there's enough comments out there that people are upset enough to where they might form a new national body. And in Texas, we did that. You know, I'm aged out now, you know, but the people that I'm friends with in the Dallas Young Republicans formed an incredibly successful, you know, has more America First programming chapter in the Dallas Young Republicans than the, it's called the Young Republicans of Texas. So they broke off from the YRNF. And there's a big lawsuit in the courts over the trademark, over the intellectual property, which, you know, Hayden Padgett is losing, you know, and that's going in favor of the intellectual property of Young Republicans being a term that can be used by anybody. That's just the way that the court case is going to go, it looks like, which is a good thing. And so I think there needs to be a new national Young Republican entity that is able to align more with what MAGNA is about, with what America First is about. And they can be effective where their organization's kind of mission, which is preparing, you know, the next generation of Republican leaders and candidates in the future. And then other organizations like Turning Point and others, they can be effective where their mission enables them to be. And so, yes, we take over some of these institutions and these bodies within the broader conservative world and within the Republican Party. That's a good thing. And that's how we build for the future, because Trump, you know, he's not going to be here forever.
I completely agree. And it's frankly a shame that after 10 years of Trump showing Republicans the way, the establishment Republicans are still clinging on to these organizations and these sort of legacy systems. And yeah, frankly, it's been too long. They either need to get with the program, change their own, you know, agenda to match with the Trump and the America Firsters, or we need to break off and make our own thing. I think enough is enough. And you saw just as the crew was scrolling through some of the responses to this from Nick Sartor to, you know, the conservative group. I mean, everybody is simply saying you cheated. You're a cheater. You had to rig the system to stop the, you know, upswing of youthful America Firsters because you want to keep them in this box of establishment Republicanism. Enough's enough. It's been a decade. It's time to move on. And if these people can't give the program, we got to leave them behind. Brian Bodine, thank you so much for joining us. Follow Brian on X at Brian Bodine. Absolutely incredible stuff. And join these groups, folks. We got to join them. We got to take them over. They only can keep control like this because you aren't there shouting them down and making your voice heard. Brian, thank you so much for joining us and keeping us on track of this important update. Powerful stuff, folks. We'll be back on the other side with more of your phone calls, more videos, and a lot more news. Stay with us at the American Journal, Infowars.com, band.video. Share those links. Follow us on Twitter. Do your part. Take over the country.
I need support. We are maxed out, and I can do so much more in offense, guaranteed beat them even faster in court. and got this other stuff going on. I'll leave it at that with the Justice Department, the good guys coming in, and the task force on weaponization, that I need funds. So I need you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, subscribe as your monthly donation for $30 a month as a VIP, and know you're doing that bare minimum of support, cancel any time. Not a very hard commitment. You just do it month to month. You charge $30. You're a VIP, and when you want a t-shirt or you want a supplement, you get it, because it'll just build up in your account. $40 to spend in the store. You spend 30, you get 40 automatic discounts on everything, special sales, special offers. I'm asking everyone to commit, who's never supported the broadcast by buying anything, to become a VIP today at thealexjonesstore.com. And then you know you're doing the monthly support. Ever have an issue, don't want to do it, cancel. One click, it's your profile. But by being a VIP, you get massive discounts, special offers, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And it's a way to show your support. We need your backing. I am 100% dauntless. If anything, I get overheated because I've got so much energy and I'm so angry at these people and it bleeds off into my life. I need your backing. I'm backing you. Quite frankly, if you don't back me and my crew, what we're doing, you're nuts. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying you're crazy. Evil hates this transmission. We've got their number. And if you don't back the organizations fighting with everything they've got for you, because we're all in this together, well, you've rolled over. You've run up the line flag, quite frankly, and that's what this is. People ask, man, thanks for fighting. Thanks for never giving up. Wow, why does it break your spirit? It intensifies my spirit. To know we're up against pure evil and we're turning the tide and we're winning, and then to know that if we don't fight hard, they're going to win and commit humanity to a nightmare of evil? You think stuff's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Thank me for fighting for my own future and yours collectively? There's not even a question of fighting these people. Look at them. They've got to be opposed. People tend to think being persecuted is, oh, you want to stay away from that. Oh, so you want to stay away from the fight. No, it's like John Paul Jones said when he got commissioned as the head of the U.S. Navy, right when he was starting, and he was writing to the Continental Congress, he said, I only want the fastest ships. I only want to be sent into the main war zones in direct action. They said, here, it's our fastest ship. Go out. He immediately goes out and engages and takes over all these British ships, 2-3 times the size, just ramming straight into them. Well, that's what I want to do. I only want the fastest ships. I want to go directly into action. I want to go 24 hours a day. I want reporters all over the country. I want to be 50 times stronger against the enemy. I want 50 times the audience. I want victory. You think what we've done to the enemy has been effective so far? It's nothing. I have not yet begun to fight. So, support yourself. Support us. Do it. Or be conscious that you didn't fight when the time was right. You hesitated. You took this as another entertainment venue, to some other show. Just more talk. This ain't talk. This is the targeting coordinates to take down the enemy. This is the Death Star plans. This is Sting, the Goblin Slayer. They hate this blade. This operation is a sword that is plunged politically, culturally, spiritually into the hearts of our enemies over and over and over again. They hate it. It's a standard of their defeat. It's a symbol of their weakness. That's what we're doing here. This is serious business. So I'm coming to you, asking you to continue to commission us in this fight. We've already delivered you more victories against the enemy than any other media operation in the world. And I'm asking you again for all of our collective futures to come to our aid now more and take your fight to the 110% level. Tell the truth. Be accurate. Stand against evil. Have courage. Until it's not even having courage, it's what you are.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. I'm going to go out to your phone calls, and I got some videos to show you as well. We'll go to calls first, because you find folks have been holding for a little while. Again, the Civil War in the Republican Party, it's kind of long overdue. I mean, honestly, the first Trump administration should have been the final act of the neocon, blue blood, old school establishment Republicans. They're still clinging on. And of course, they have to, you know, slightly alter their message to, you know, convince you that they've changed, but they haven't.
And you can see it in things like the Young Republicans in New York rigging the election to keep a establishment figure in place. So it goes beyond, you know, just Israel, and it's about this globalist establishment resisting the nationalistic impulses of America First because it contradicts all of their globe-spanning schemes that they're running. So with that, let's go out to your calls once again. We've got Alex in Northern Virginia, and the crew just brought in the story I think you're referencing. It's from AlJazeera.com. Over 600 ex-Israeli senior security officials urged Trump to end Gaza war. More than 600 former Israeli senior officials have urged United States President Donald Trump to bring an end to Israel's war on Gaza as deaths of dozens of Palestinians from Israeli-induced starvation have caused global outrage. The appeal was made to a letter sent to Trump on Sunday. Its signatories include former Mossad chief Tamir Pardo, former Shin Bet chief Ami Ayalon, and former Deputy Israeli Army Chief Matan Vilney, which is shocking to learn that all of these people are such vicious and hateful anti-Semites. You would never expect. I mean, what a shocking development that the former heads of Mossad and Shin Bet and the Israeli army themselves are all trafficking in these anti-Semitic conspiracy theories about Gaza. It's shocking, Alex. What's your comment on this? 600 ex-Israeli senior security officials urging Trump to end the Gaza war. Anti-Semitism runs deep, doesn't it, Alex?
It's sure. Well, stop trying to catch me. So the deal is that they said also in that letter that there was three objectives that they needed to accomplish. Two of them have been accomplished long ago by knocking out Hamas and their governmental system. The last objective that they were trying to do is to get the hostages, and the hostages cannot be done unless it's through a ceasefire. So there's that. Now, if you don't mind, I wanted to go to the seven Noahide
laws. Yeah, that was an interesting development in this story of Trump, Israel, and the Epstein files, where it's an Israeli guy basically saying, you want to know why the Epstein files are such a problem with for Trump? It's because he's not doing what Israel wants him to do. So now the Epstein files are a problem with him. And he ends this article by saying that all nations have to adhere to the seven Noahide laws, which, if you know anything about that, those are the laws that people under Jewish rule have to adhere to. It's not the rules Jews have to adhere to. That's the Old Testament stuff. Noahide are the laws that would be all of the people who are subject of the Jews have to follow. And it's things like no idolatry, and the punishment for breaking the Noahide laws is to be beheaded. So yeah, pretty interesting to hear the Noahide laws being invoked in this article, isn't it, Alex?
Well, and on top of it all, if you don't mind, I want to read these real quick. It says to not worship idols, not to curse God, not to murder, not to commit sexual immorality, not to steal, not to eat flesh from a living animal, and to establish courts of justice. Here's what it's missing. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not lie, and thou shalt not worship no other God before me, for I am a jealous God. Right. These are the three things that is missing. So when you go to the Wailing Wall and you start rocking your head back and forth, just understand that whoever goes to the Wailing Wall has already accepted to worship another god and that god's ideology. And, of course, that goes back to John 8:44.
Well, and of course, when they say no idolatry, that includes Christianity, because under the Jewish conception, you know, you're worshiping a man, you're worshiping an idol. They don't believe Jesus is God or the Messiah. So that would be in violation of the Noahide law. So adhering to the Noahide laws means Christianity is illegal.
And if you don't mind, John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Mm-hmm. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, real quick, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth. That's Cain. Cain committed the first murder. Cain committed the first lie. This is who they worship. They worship Cain.
Well, it's definitely not a set of laws I feel like adhering to. And You know, once you start looking into the no-HUD laws, it is a very bizarre sort of underlying motive behind a lot of the stuff that you see. I think it was George W. Bush, like, signed some deal saying that America would abide by the no-HUD laws with the Chabad Lubavitch rabbi, you know, back in the 2000s. And, of course, the guy who wrote this article, this Yosef Janowski character, is also a very high-ranking Chabad Lubavitch member. So that's the ultimate goal of the Chabad Lubavitchers, is to basically eradicate Christianity by enforcing the Noahide laws and declaring Christ as idolatry, worshiping Christ as being idolatrous. So very, very troubling stuff, and not a set of laws that I want to or am ever going to live under or adhere to. So thanks for the call, Alex. Important stuff. Let's go to Steve in Alaska now about this these subpoenas, this Epstein kerfuffle. Go ahead, Steve. You're on the air.
All right. So, you ever watch The Horse Being Trained?
Yeah.
Okay. So they run it in one direction, and they stop in the middle, and then, you know, if the horse comes, then they try to establish a trust, right?
Right.
If it doesn't trust it, they run it the other direction. They keep repeating that until the trust is established. That's your Democrat and Republican Party, okay? So they run you one way, they promise you A and B, they don't deliver. So they run you the other way, they promise you X and Y, they don't deliver. And people keep falling for this stuff, and they're starting to wake up little by little. I'm one of the old school conspiracy theorists, okay?
Right.
I've known about the Israel occupation for well over 3.5 decades.
Right.
I've known that the ADL has targeted white people just like they targeted using the FBI, just like they targeted the family up in Ruby Ridge.
Yep.
Which we can't talk about because then you're white supremacist, but, you know, they just wanted to separate from society because they didn't want anything to do with the homosexuality and all the rest.
Yep.
They wanted a simple Christian lifestyle.
And there's the famous image of him wearing the Say No to Zog shirt.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and don't get me wrong. Back in the day, I was a part of that movement. I was part of the white supremacist movement. And I woke up and realized that supremacy is a lie, because there's no actual ethnic supremacy anywhere. We all have birth defects. We all have people in our ethnicities that are less than human being. When I say less than human being, I mean that by their behavior.
Right.
So when it comes down to it, it's nice to see people start waking up to the whole Jewish thing, and how they are basically controlling, funding, running our government through the Federal Reserve, private central bank. That's the third one of the United States. People better start waking up to this history fast. And they don't need to rely on Trump and the rest. Now, when it comes down to these show trials real fast, that's what they are, and we know it. They did it when, what was it, Benghazi. And you had the guy who was running all the whole Benghazi-Hillary thing, and he was screaming and yelling about, let's prosecute Hillary. They didn't prosecute anything, right?
Right.
Well, now that people are waking up to this stuff, and they're seeing, they're demanding a sacrificial lamb. Well, Hillary and Bill are old. They're pretty much useless anymore. So if and when they are put on trial, and if and when they are convicted and sacrificed, they will be the sacrificial lamb, because the New World Order, the elites, have no more further use for them. So they're going to use them to appease us, because too many of us are too close to the Zionist truth of control, conspiracy, and, you know, all the rest of the stuff that they really want to do to us. And they want the people to go back to sleep again. That's what they want. They don't understand. They woke the sleeping giant, and eventually people are going to want to go back to the days of Andrew Jackson. Perfect. He's one of the most, I think you guys said it yesterday, talking about the, you know, most influential presidents of America. He was probably the second most influential. He stopped the second central bank from bankrupting America. They tried to kill him. Both guns misfired. You think Trump escaped a bullet? That guy escaped too.
Right.
So, you know, in the end, people really need, and this isn't about hating Jews, because it's not all Jews. This is about escaping the control of the system and those who seek to subjugate you.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that is the ultimate, you know, lie that's kept this all in place, is that by criticizing Israel or even criticizing the ADL or AIPAC or any of these groups because they label themselves Jews, then you can't criticize them or else you hate Jews. And that's the central lie that I think is collapsing and falling down, because it's ridiculous on the face of it. And we've said this a million billion times on this show and everywhere else. You just treat Jews like you treat everybody else, and you've got extremists in that religion who want to use, you know, power to eliminate their enemies. And you just don't stand for that, because that's not what America does. And we don't put laws into place to benefit one religion over another. It is an abject violation of our most fundamental principles of the Republic, of that you have, you know, religious plurality. And that means not only do you get to worship how you like, you get to criticize the way other people worship. That's incumbent on freedom of speech and freedom of religion. So this whole lie of you just are driven by hate, just nobody's buying it anymore. I hope nobody's buying it anymore. And the more they scream about it, the more they claim it, the less effective it is. And in fact, the more people actually genuinely start to hate, you know, the way they're acting. So, you know, if I was to give advice to the Jewish organizations or Israel itself, it'd be chill the hell out. You got it. You got to stop doing what you're doing. Stop doubling down. Stop rubbing it in everybody's face, because you're only waking more people up. So do it or don't do it. I don't really care. I'm not Israeli and I'm not pro-Israel. So you're headed down the path to your own destruction. You're committing suicide by insisting that you never give an inch and never, you know, admit malfeasance. You never, you know, take credit for the horrible acts of your government and claim they're all lies. And it's just ridiculous. And nobody's falling for it. And everybody's wise to your act now. So you can stop or you can keep going. And the choice is entirely yours. But the way people are going to respond to it is completely natural and normal for, you know, decent Christian God-fearing people to oppose what Israel is doing is totally normal and natural. Thank you for the call, Steve. Let's go to Darren in Alberta. Alberta, Canada. Thanks for calling in, Darren. You're on the air.
Hey, hello, Harrison. How are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
I'm doing not too bad. The reason why I chose to call you, and I'm actually surprised that I even got on air, is because I think out of all the InfoWars hosts, you're the most fluid individual, if I could say that, because I believe that you like to go down any avenue whatsoever to get to the truth of anything. Would I be correct in assuming that, Harrison?
Yeah, I'm glad that comes across. And I've sort of been meaning to talk about that a little bit too, because, you know, other people, if they don't have the mindset that I have, like, they get confused. Like, I posted yesterday, you know, that I liked Nick Fuentes' thing on Friday, his video on Friday. And so everybody's just like, oh, so you just believe everything he says? And it's like, do you not understand I have the ability to listen to things and then judge them based on all of the other contexts that I know? And I even talked about it a little bit with Rex yesterday. But it's just this idea that, like, yeah, I can listen to things and, you know, take what's true and leave what's false, or, you know, see it from different perspectives. It's really not that hard for me. And it's like, you've got to consider everything if you want to go down the right path. You got to look down all the paths and see which one's right. You got to go, well, here's what this guy says. Here's what this guy says. Let me weigh this against, you know, what I know with my own eyes. And then I'll come to, you know, to the truth. So, you know, I was talking about when Nick was criticizing Tucker about Nicaragua and all the South America stuff. And I was going, that doesn't sound that bad to me. I mean, it sounds like he was doing what the CIA should do, which is protect American interests overseas from encroachment by our enemies, like the Soviet Union, like that. You know, so I can listen to Nick criticize that and still understand, like, I'm not actually that against that, but I see how it fits into the wider picture. Anyway, I'm glad that comes across, because, yeah, I don't discredit anything that could be true, right?
Yeah, thank you for that, Harrison. And the actual reason why I called today is I can't even remember what I told your call screeners, because it was so long ago.
Sorry. Well, it says the legal system on a global scale.
Oh, okay. So here we are. Now, would you agree or disagree with the fact that the highest level of how we can achieve success in accomplishing anything on this planet is through the legal system. And it doesn't matter what country you're in. That's the basis of it, of everything.
Sure.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is I myself am embattled in a very serious legal battle right now. And the reason why I'm calling is because, well, America is embattled in a big, gigantic legal problem as well. Because America is the bastion of hope. It's like America is the symbol for the entire world to be the kind of like the template, I guess, if you could say, of what reality should even be.
Right.
If the fact that 1776 doesn't even matter anymore, because we're trapped in this reality that nothing's getting done, nobody's being prosecuted. Like I live in Canada, and our politicians are saying we have the best system of governance in the entire world. Well, that's a lie, because it's not. And then you have people from America saying we have the best system of governance. Well, if America has the best system of governance, why is all this turmoil happening right now?
Yeah.
Like, how can any of this be allowed to even happen? And it all boils down to the legal system. And you know what? I'm gonna name a few names here. I'm gonna say Bob Barnes. Well, I love Bob Barnes. I'm happy that you guys have Bob Barnes on your program. But the reality is if Bob Barnes was a miraculous, wonderful human being that I guess is portrayed in society that he is, or through the InfoWars channel, then why hasn't anything been done? Like, what? He's a lawyer. I'm just a nobody, and I'm gonna file lawsuits that are gonna bring a lot of people down.
Well, you know, the problem with the legal system is, you know, it relies on submission to the legal system, and when you have everybody wanting to play fair, then it works perfectly. But the instant you have one person who wants to cut corners or try to manipulate it, then the whole thing kind of falls apart. Yeah, you know, I don't have time to show it today, but there was a video going around of a guy who was an English guy, and he's living in a hotel in Bali. And I wanted to play it just to, again, illustrate, as I try to do quite often, like, Americans have this delusion that, like, everywhere in the world is like America, and that if you just, you know, follow the rules and everything works out. And it's like, this is a very special thing that we've established here, and it's a special type of people that can actually run a system like this, and it's people that don't cut corners, don't want to screw over their neighbors, you know, will submit themselves to the law, not go out and get, you know, vigilante justice because they trust the system of justice that's in place. When all of that breaks down, you get vigilante. And so this video I wanted to show, I think it was in Bali, but it's this guy who's like, he's staying in an apartment building, and the apartment building is like, somebody's trying to do like a hostile takeover of it. And there's, you know, cops there versus the, you know, militias that the other owner hired, and they're like changing law, and it's just chaos. And it's just chaos, and eventually it just boils down to brute strength. Eventually it just comes down to who has the most number of armed people, they're going to win the conflict. And so it's just this idea that, like, can you even imagine something like this happening in America? It's so wild. It's so lawless, and, you know, might makes right, and it's so offensive to, like, you know, American sensibilities. But it's like, that's what most of the world is like. Yeah, they might have a system of law, but, like, you know, it's pay to play. And of course, America has gone more in that direction, but it's because we're becoming less like America and more like everywhere else. And we're losing this very special system of law that is actually effective and works when you have good people to run it. Now, I wanted to go to more calls, but I just got some very interesting breaking news here just delivered to me by the crews. Pam Bondi deliberates releasing secret Ghislaine Maxwell interview as pressure swells on Trump team. Attorney General Pam Bondi is weighing whether to release an audio recording of the interviews her deputy conducted with Ghislaine Maxwell last month. The Justice Department recorded its more than 9-hour sit-down with a convicted child sex trafficker, CNN reported.
Amid pressure to be more transparent about the Jeffrey Epstein case, President Donald Trump's administration is considering if the court recording should be made public. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche went down to Florida last month, spent 2 days questioning Maxwell about what she knows in regards to Epstein's horrific crimes. She's currently, of course, serving out a 20-year sentence. In her cooperation with federal employees, or federal authorities, rather, the Epstein associate appears to be angling for a pardon from President Donald Trump. Her attorney, David Oscar Marcus, said after the second day of questioning concluded, they had not put in a formal request with the White House for a pardon. They said she answered all the questions, did not hold back, did not invoke the Fifth Amendment or anything else, and spoke about 100 different people related to Epstein's child sex trafficking ring. And it appears now that Pam Bondi is deliberating whether to release that information. We also have this from RadarOnline.com. Leaked FBI document reveals Jeffrey Epstein's secret history as an FBI informant. Jeffrey Epstein was secretly working with the U.S. government, according to bombshell documents obtained by Radar Online. The late tycoon and pedophile, who died in jail in 2019, age 66, while awaiting trial on sex trafficking crimes, was more than just protected. He was a puppet, informant, and spy for the FBI, added an intelligence agency source. A 2008 internal file obtained through a successful Freedom of Information Act show Epstein was operating as an FBI informant prior to his now infamous 2007 sweetheart plea deal. Epstein has also provided information to the FBI as agreed upon. The special agent, whose name was redacted, wrote on an internal cable dated September 9th, 2008, marked routine. It added, case agent advised that no federal prosecution will occur in this matter as long as Epstein continues to uphold his agreement with the state of Florida. That bargain struck the Department of Justice when Epstein was facing potential federal charges for trafficking minors across state lines, allowed him to plead guilty to reduced state-level charges in Florida, serving just 13 months in jail, much of it under work release. The agreement was infamous not only for its leniency, but also a granting immunity to Epstein's alleged co-conspirators for being concluded before all the victims had even been interviewed or his electronics seized by authorities. The heart of the deal was Alex Acosta, then U.S. Attorney for Southern District of Florida. Acosta, now 56, would later resign as Donald Trump's labor secretary after scrutiny of his role in the Epstein case intensified. Not to mention that Pam Bondi was involved back then as well. A source close to the case told the masthead, these are smoking gun documents. They show Epstein was an active source for the FBI way before his plea deal in 2007. And it notes emails between Marie Villafana, Nesbitt Kirkendall, and Jason Richards regarding review of evidence received pursuant to subpoenas and planned interviews of potential victim witnesses. The revelation has reignited longstanding suspicions that Epstein's immunity was not the result of powerful lawyers or elite connections alone, but due to his value as an intelligence asset. One source familiar with the investigation said the real reason the FBI has been stonewalling for years is because these files blow up the official story. Epstein wasn't just evading justice. He was helping them. And so apparently you've got it being admitted that he was a Epstein, or that he was a FBI informant. Jeffrey Epstein sold Prince Andrew's secrets, new book claims. Epstein remained Mar-a-Lago member long after indictment for sex crimes is another headline here. So, you know, the Epstein story continues to embroil Trump. I do have to wonder how much of that is just literally pressure from the Israelis to get Trump to do what he wants by, you know, being the source of the information about Epstein and, of course, still being very much in control of not just the intelligence community here, but the mainstream media as well. What a crazy world, folks.
This is a major alert for the AlexJonesShow.com. I'm cutting this on the afternoon of July 30th, 2025. That means you've got 7 days to get the biggest deals ever if you're a VIP. It's $30 a month. You get $40 for the store, special deals, special offers, special savings. And you don't just get one bottle of the supplements like Methylene Blue, get one free. You also can buy one of our amazing Richardson hats with Patriot logos and messages on it, or either T-shirts or other apparel, and get one absolutely free. I mean, this is an incredible deal. Now, this is a fundraiser shirt, but with this, we mark it up, limited edition, InfoWars fundraiser shirt, black on black, murdered out, limited edition. We're only putting the shirt out for a few months. Get your limited edition, murdered out, historic InfoWars shirt, and know you fought at the tip of the spear. It's an adventure to wear this shirt in public. Find it all right now. Biggest sale ever at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support because we cannot do this without you.
How do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? Because I love this stuff, Methylene Blue.
I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What is the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. Oh, you still like Brain Force? Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple of days. So I'm going to take my dose of methylene blue at my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process in the cell. It's like iodine to the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.